This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Happy Saturday morning, Behind the Curtain, Justin Scott and Spiegel. And on Wednesday, we had Keith in here. And, you know, he was being all pompous and ass, talking about
getting in here late.
Coming in here late and then talking about TV and how talented they are and how great they are. And we were like, listen, bro, we got a guy sitting right here in this studio that would send shockwaves through the TV industry. You put this guy on the tube. Spiegel, baby. We got to make it happen. The city would never know what hit him.
He invited Josh down to do a one-on-one training on the... Which made me laugh because I do believe Keith would do that, but I don't believe if Keith came up here and said, Josh, I'd like to schedule some time for us to sit down together. That doesn't sound like something you'd do.
I'd be a little shy about it. Because I know a lot of people would probably be watching us. Not the audience, but people just hanging around down there.
The problem now is that more than ever, you have to look like a freaking model.
Well, what are you saying?
It used to be just the network anchors. Now, like, you look at our building, it is getting progressively filled with more and more attractive people doing news.
Well, what about Keith?
He's an outlier.
No, I mean, Mike's right. You look back, like, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s. It's like if your work spoke for itself and they would put you on TV based on your work, and that still holds true for certain people, which I think it would hold true for Josh. I had a thought and I forgot it.
Now you see him looking a little more model-esque.
No, I was going to say, I think the biggest challenge Josh would face would just getting comfortable with it. The whole process, the whole new... That's your biggest obstacle, is you getting comfortable with, like, your surroundings and the technology and the flow and how things... Because you have the material. The material's there. You know how to write. You know how to present it. You're confident in your work. You would just need to be comfortable under the lights and under the camera, in front of the camera with the... But, you know, practice. You can practice that. You know what I mean?
Well, it's never going to happen. They're not interested.
It will never happen. You will never see Josh on TV. Here it is, talking about getting Josh on TV.
What were you saying? I would love to see you do some TV. I think you would kill it. People would watch you on TV to see. I'm serious.
Yeah. Well, why don't you talk to them downstairs?
What would you do that?
I'm right here.
What would you do?
Whatever they want me to do.
Okay, I will.
He'd love to do it, too.
Well, they want to know talent if it came up and bit them on the ass.
All right, okay.
I'm sitting right here.
All right, Tim Tunison walks in today and goes, Josh, we'd like you to do a 45-second spot every Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
God, are you kidding me? He does it. Sleep.
Tuesday tap dancing.
Would you do it?
He does it already. It's called the goddamn... What's it called? What's that thing you call?
Do a commentary.
What's it called?
I'm talking about actually being seen on television.
He writes it.
Whatever he wants.
You
know,
it's already written. All he's got to do is sit down. You got to give him a faceectomy. You got to get him to look a little better, but that's it.
Real stuff. Real stuff in
whatever
the media.
They want.
Not this radio stuff you
whatever,
guys do.
Whatever they want
nobody
me to do, I'll do it.
This guy's got Murrows. Enough Murrows to freaking line up.
You ever see Josh in a suit? He looks damn good.
I tell you what, the ratings would go through the roof.
I'm sure they would. I guarantee they would.
I can't guarantee that.
Here's the other thing,
Keith. Infatuated with watching
you
on TV.
Well, look, if you think that, then say something
Keith,
to them.
Listen to me, you moron. Listen.
Get me all fired
think,
up here.
This guy doesn't have what it takes, the cojones and the balls and the talent. Down there, they don't write their own stuff. They sit there and read what's fed to them. This guy sits down every morning and writes his own newscast. Of course he's got what it takes.
He can write it, he can read it, and he's got the look.
You know, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yes, I do.
I have no idea. Everybody.
They write their own stories?
They don't write their own stuff.
Of course they do.
Not a Hamilton writing stories.
The reporters will.
She can't write all of it because there's a volume of news you have to write.
So
there are news writers that is
shows
just in
up
the process.
At 4:58.
This guy writes word for word his own thing. Look at it's
man.
All written
I'm
right here. Hold it up,
Josh.
Hold it up. Show him. And he's got his hashtag where he plays the sounds and
there
everything.
There we go. Right there.
Look at this dude.
In all seriousness,
put him on the TV.
Josh, I get in here at 3:15 every morning, and Josh is not far behind, he always is prepared. Yeah. Always. And I admire that about you. Yeah. I'm serious.
6:00 this morning wasn't too good. But thank you anyway.
Well done.
I'm a little tired.
I think you would kill
allergies.
TV. Actually, yeah. I think it would be good if you did it with someone. I like you and I.
Okay.
Where I could set you up with some things and have you just roll. Right. I think that
would
be great.
Well, why don't you tell them that?
Because
no, I think it's a piece where they just throw it to you. You're sitting
at
the desk.
That's probably true.
And you rip off like a 90-second, what do you call it, like a op-ed, an editorial type piece.
Yeah. Like this.
And you call it, maybe just, you know, recycle the what's just saying.
Okay.
Or you can do it like Peter Griffin did, the grind my gears type vibe thing or whatever.
Should I
do Andy Rooney kind of thing?
Do you want to throw it to me now?
Exactly.
Andy
Rooney.
Let's do it right now.
Okay. Andy Rooney.
Obviously, a lot going on in the world. Let's go right now to our man on the street, Josh Spiegel. Josh.
Thanks, Keith. We're here today to talk about how Amazon is destroying America and destroying our lives. More at 6.
Wait, no, that's not. That was not.
That was just a tease.
That was not what you're saying.
No, Josh, you need to fill more time, Josh.
I was only prepared
for
a tease.
You need to fill a minute and a half. Have you ever read on a teleprompter?
I don't think I have.
Okay.
But I can learn.
That can be to some people, that can be extremely paralyzing.
Really?
Yes. When the floor director points to you and you know the red light is on, and then all of a sudden the words start going, a lot of people are like, whoa, baby.
Yeah, but you get rid of that like in college. You don't make it to where you are if
when you get your first gig, brother. That's when you get rid of it.
I will say, like, looking into
camera.
Yeah,
I mean, like, on a Sunday night at midnight or something, you're not really.
You can practice all you want without the live bullets, as they say in football or basketball, but when the.
Yeah, when you
ding.
Know.
Do it in the game.
Do it in the game, baby.
It's like this. If you stop and think about how many people are listening, like, at any given time, you go, but you just don't.
That could be pretty. Now you can't. We're insulated in here, you know?
When they're not doing anything, like, you know, between the noon news and the morning news, would he be able to go down there maybe and just
he'd have
practice?
To clear it through Tim.
Yeah,
Tim.
Let's do that, dude. Let's sit you in the chair and have you. We'll load in one of your Just Saying scripts into the teleprompter, and we'll have
that's
you.
That's a good idea, actually.
I love that idea.
You have to get the powers that be involved, but that should happen.
Yes, Mike.
Okay.
Can we all try it?
Get a 10.
We all try it.
That'll be
like
fun.
The day
right?
You went over and shot baskets over at the.
Yeah, the light goes on, and you have to. The words start to scroll, and you have to read them. I couldn't do that. I couldn't keep up with the words.
I just hate staring into a camera lens. That to me is tough.
It can be intimidating to people.
But how do you in your mind or were you taught any kind of like trick in the beginning to like pretend that the camera's your good buddy?
No, not
you're
really.
Just talking to your buddy.
Get used to it. You know, and you do concentrate to the point where sometimes you do phase it out. But right now it's like second nature, man. I've been doing this for 20 some odd years. So
yeah,
camera
when
loves
we
me.
Do little like TV hits with you guys.
Yeah.
It's still very awkward. Like where to look, and like Mike said, you just have to stare. What I do is when they're talking to us, like in the IFB or through our headphones, and I hear it's Jennifer Franciotti's voice or something, I pretend I just pretend I'm talking to Jen.
Yeah, exactly.
And I look straight at the camera, and I'm just talking to Jen.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're with another person and there's give and take, ignore the camera and just the director will follow you. That's not your job to make sure that he gets the shot or she gets the shot. You just interact with the person you're with or interact with the camera. It's not your responsibility to get the shot. That's somebody
else. Josh knows all this. He knows it all already.
Now there's more pressure.
And never, ever show up the director or the producer. Man, nothing chaps me more when somebody on the air, and I've seen this many times, that embarrasses, you know, if a tape doesn't run or if there's an audio problem or if there's something that makes the anchor look bad, to call out the producer or the director on the air is one of the great cheap shots in all of television.
Well,
what about Mike under the bus real quick?
But isn't it their fault?
It doesn't matter whose fault it is.
Then the anchor looks bad.
Did we do that to you, Mike?
So let's say an anchor makes a mistake. Do you want to hear the director and the intercom over there going, "Hey, nice job screwing that line up there, Johnny"?
Yes, I'd like to hear that.
How often do we do that to you, Mike?
I guess
every hour.
Josh probably does more than anybody with the news clips.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you something.
I try not to do that because guess what? I had that done to me a lot in my prior
in your production days. It's BS.
So I know now what I know what it feels like. And I try not to.
Hey, here's how
everybody gets frustrated at times.
Here's how to avoid it.
Gotta hold it in.
Don't screw up.
Yeah, right. Don't screw up.
So we don't call you out when you screw something up.
Well, I want to. I want to totally if some, but as long as it's not on the air. God's sake, I don't want to be embarrassed.
So you can't be called that on the air, but Mike can be.
That's
okay, double standard.
Right.
Exist, Mike. Screw you, dude.
That's fine.
Deal with it.
Deal with it.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Dr. Gwen McGregor joined us yesterday, and we've had, Mike, you pointed it out earlier here in the break coming up, the lady that came in and she did the tarot card, and we've had some of the metaphysical before. McGregor seemed to be the most legit I think we've ever had. I believed what she said. Nothing about her seemed like a charlatan.
No, yeah, I was fully on board. I don't know what it was. Something just resonated with her, at least with me.
Does it help that she's an old lady? Let's be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
If you come walking in here looking like a hottie, or you're some douche with a pop collar, and you're trying to pitch your band CD on us also, she, and I hate to need a particular packaging for my sorceress, but she's what I wanted to see when she came in.
I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, you know, it's a Saturday morning. We're all
it's early. We're here live.
Hey, we'll see you at the Dip Bowl later
today. Yeah, we're on our way right after this.
Vamped to try to remember what the hell I was going to say.
You got your palm red?
Oh, it's one of those things where this is like, you know, when you go into something like this, you can either just surrender to the process and enjoy it and have fun with it, or you can go, whatever. It's stupid. It's stupid. Reading the palm is dumb, you know? But like, and I was totally, it's fun to just, you know, whether you truly, truly believe or you just kind of go along for the ride, or granted, we didn't have to pay for anything. You know what I mean? Like maybe if you're shelling out some money, you might want, but like, you know, you just see people that call in or text in and like,
do you go see a Marvel film and think, oh, well, this isn't real.
Right.
What do you think? It's a documentary, Iron Man, stupid.
And it was, I liked her. It was cool. It was fun. It was, I just enjoyed the break.
Yeah. She was succinct. She was direct. We found out Josh is going to live to be like in the 80s, if not beyond. Yeah,
that was disappointing.
What?
It really was. I was hoping.
Whoa!
I was hoping that she would say something.
90s?
No. Like
50s?
43.
30, early 30s. Early 30s. Hey, what'd you think about that hot blonde that's going to be rolling into town come 2018?
Things are going to change.
Anything you want to tell us, baby?
No, because I don't know anything.
Well,
all right.
In the hall. In the hallway. She also said that Spiegel would inherit a son at some point.
Whoa.
What the hell does that mean?
What?
I'm going to have a son.
So. Inherit? Do you inherit
someone?
I mean,
Josh was barren.
Maybe he gets in a relationship with someone that has a son, or, I don't know, maybe you take in a...
Good for you, buddy.
Or you're
proud of you. Happy for you.
Man.
Congratulations.
Does a son
to
need to be human? Mm-hmm. Okay. This is my son, Mr. Sprinkles.
Well, did anything she say resonate with you, Spiegs?
What is she? It's all such a blur. It happened so long ago.
It was yesterday.
Yeah. She seemed. No, not a thing, really.
Well, hear about it now. We had Dr. Gwen McGregor, the medium of Maryland, the clairvoyant, and she was pretty incredible. Read our palms and told Josh that he was going to live forever and have a son with a blonde woman. Coming up. Clairvoyancy. Oh, Michael Anderson, this is right up your alley, brother.
Yeah, this comes from the mind of Mike Anderson. We have Dr. Gwen McGregor in studio. And Mike, tell us, just walk us up to this again.
Sure, yeah. About a month ago, we were talking about tarot cards. I'd brought up the subject on my podcast, The Anderson Agenda. Find it on 98online.com. And
shameless plug.
Mm-hmm. Then we started talking about it on our show, and we brought in Lucy. Or not doctor, whatever, Miss Lucy came in. She's a tarot card reader. But before she got back to me, I reached out to Dr. Gwen McGregor because she also dabbles in tarot along with a bunch of other stuff, including hypnotherapy and stuff like that. And I was just going through her resume, and it was amazing. I'm like, wow, she is legit.
Yeah, well, doctor, why don't you go just give us list some of the things listed on your resume. You get close to that microphone.
Okay.
What do you specialize in? What do you do most?
Mostly the intuitive life coaching. I'm doing the intuitive medium work. I'm a medical medium. I do tarot and palmistry, but I'm also a metaphysics teacher, considered an ascended teacher. So, you know, I do a lot of the metaphysical work. I do Huna healing, and I'm a Reiki master.
I don't know half of what
the,
you just
the
said.
The Reiki, that's the body energy?
Yeah, that's the body energy.
The energy of the body?
Uh-huh. Interacting with the aura and the energy of others, yes.
How does someone like yourself, and Mike forwarded us your information, your resume, and you do seem to be very above board.
Thank you.
That you probably have some charlatans and some snake oil salesmen in your field.
Absolutely.
That you get some people that think they do. Oh, let me tell you a tale real quick. There's a dude, Borders Books and Music, I used to work at. That place is out of business now. Thank God. $40 for a DVD. Uh-huh. And there's a guy in there that worked in the cafe that told people he did Reiki and the and he did Qigong. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know anything from anything. Like, Qigong. This guy used to just, like wash forklifts at a stockyard somewhere. And he was just out there because he was trying to, like, get all handsy and creepy, and he got dimed up just because he bought some weird, like, hemp tunic and did it in a field.
Right.
How do you separate yourself from the charlatans?
Well, you know, study is part of it. You know, I've been doing this since I was a kid. Actually, I started professionally or semi-professionally at 16. Yeah, I worked the Renaissance Festival for 20 years. Oh. But, you know, I've worked around town. I worked with Lori Perdue up at Mystical Voyage for years. And, you know, I've been writing and I've been doing this for a long time. And I still think, you know, you have to prove yourself every day. And, you know, it's the people that come back to me. You know, I'm on Fox Network, D.C., several times a year. And, you know, again, I think you stay above board. You keep your heart pure and you keep learning and growing. And I think that's what does it.
Do you do palm readings by any chance?
Oh, yeah. That's where I started.
What if I swung around over there? You want to?
I'd love to.
I have a palm right here.
Yeah. I'd love to read your palm.
Check it out. Do Scott real
quick.
How
do you do it? Can you just look at it or what do I got to do?
When I teach it, and I'm going to teach it at Illuminate Annapolis, November 12th in Annapolis.
Turn up.
If you read everything. You read the shape of the palm, the hand, the fingernails. So when you turn your hand over, there are a couple things that show up right away. And I want you to turn your
hand over. You want me to turn my hand over?
Palm. Yeah.
Okay.
The first thing that comes in is how stubborn he is. His thumb extends a full, is that 180 or 90? I always get
90
that.
Degrees.
Right angle.
90 degrees.
Thank you, 90. And he also has a very defined thumb, which is the site of his will or his ego. And it's very strong. He's got a square palm, which says that he likes to finish jobs. He doesn't like when you don't finish a job with him. But he's very interesting. He's got this gap between his little finger and the rest of his hand, or his fingers.
I do.
You know what that indicates?
No.
You hate stupid people.
Oh, my God.
Stupid people. And,
that's why we rarely hang out.
And you don't really like coarse or dictatorial leadership. You don't like to really take orders from anybody. A fairly long lifeline, but you will move significantly. I mean, a significant move.
What does that mean?
It probably means
physically move?
Yeah, like, you know,
career?
64, you're going to move somewhere. Oh, well, you have moves. You know, we're not even looking
at later,
job.
Later on.
You're a good writer. You have a nice balance between your head and your heart. You're still trying to find the kind of home and love you had when you were younger.
Now, what do you point to what you're looking at?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't want to take you from your mic. This is your heart line.
That's his wiping hand.
Yeah, that's okay. And this is there are lots of islands in his heart line, which tells me he's extremely sensitive, which counters off to this stubbornness. He also has some insecurities where, you know, hardcore relationships are concerned. He's not real sure about trusting, but he's very sure about wanting a home and all the sense of home. This is the development of the final love, which is still coming to you, by the way. No, you can still be married to it. It just means that you haven't developed that full ownership of your love yet. This is interesting. This is the headline. It goes all the way across. Oh, sorry. All the way across your palm, which indicates, yes, a lot of intelligence, but it's coming down into the moon. It's moving towards the moon.
What does that mean?
It means he's insightful. It means he can be very intuitive. It also means it's very interesting when you have this rounded palm on the right side. Mm-hmm. These are usually kids that grow up using their sense of humor to get attention.
100%.
No.
I had a big nose growing up. I was very self-conscious.
But he's got very sensitive fingertips.
I had to work on my wit to get me by.
I'm next.
Wow, that was cool.
And
wow.
I should say what really too sold me about.
You guys knowing me, that was pretty spot on.
There's nothing that you said that I disagree with. And some people that will do clairvoyance and tarot card will say stuff that's hyper general.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that some of your observations were more specific and accurate, which leads me to believe, you know, you're on the up and up.
Well, and speaking of that, what really sold me on Dr. McGregor was when we were emailing each other, she's like, also, you got an issue with your back right jaw, and you're probably going to need a retainer for your bottom row of teeth.
Let's talk about this, Dr. McGregor. He brought this up in the meeting. He goes, hey, we're going to have her in. And in this email, she wrote something about my jaw.
She knew about my dumb face.
And Mike has been having a jaw problem. What is it?
Yeah,
what is
my on my right side, it's popping out, and it's getting worse, especially in the past few months.
Explain that to me. You guys are emailing back and forth. How did you?
What if it stayed out?
Names. Yeah. Thank you. Names are very important to me. When I hear a name, it like opens a door. And what happens is it's like a scan. It's like I go right down people's bodies inside. And I've done this since I was a kid. And, you know, I'd walk up to people and I'd touch their hip, you know, and they'd go, ow, or they'd go, why are you doing that? And it was because as a kid, you know, you just see something imperfect or that you want to help with. But now, you know, people come to me and usually they'll say their names and then I will tell them what I see in the body. It becomes important, I think, that you know what parts of the body may not hold up as well, where there may be inflammation gathering, you know, and people will say, well, do you need a name? And I'm like, no. I mean, I can look at you and see things. I can see things that are going on.
You already did my palm if you want to look at somebody in the room. Look at this guy.
Coming
Spiegel.
Around.
Justin's been waiting.
Justin. Yeah, I'm dying.
Justin, I'm fascinated by it.
Well, yes. Justin, you do need to keep a watch over your eyes in this lifetime, especially around 65 to 69.
Okay. You're going blind.
No, you're not going blind. But we will watch because there's pressure there already that's already visible.
You know, it's interesting. You're right. I get headaches and I feel pressure behind my eyes because I got really bad blood pressure. Well, and the blood pressure kind of pushes my eyes out.
That's where we were going. But also to the base of the skull. A really good massage once in a while.
Mike, get over here.
Not deep tissue, uh-huh. But like a good, strong, steady rub would be very helpful there. I'm not so worried about your blood pressure, though, because I think you're going to be able to take care of that for the most part. It's the circulation in your feet I'm a little worried about and your ankles.
My left foot is jet black.
Well,
I'm coming around. When did you hit this palm? This is fascinating. Mm-hmm. You're incredible.
So what are we doing? You're doing a...
She's going to read his palm.
Okay.
Are you doing another palm reading?
Well, my guess is all three of you have the little finger out just because you've attracted one another. I did bring you a present too.
So sweet.
Yes,
so
and read the button because I can get both
Let's
of you
here.
With the button too.
My soul was removed to make room for all this sarcasm. You know us. Welcome to the new member of the show.
I can get you them.
You are fantastic.
Like
all right, there you go.
Well, another one with a very strong intelligence line. Very strong.
Okay.
Very interesting, though. You have something that many people in the world don't have. About 90% of human beings, their intelligence line joins with their lifeline. Yours does not. Usually there's an indicator of some kind of difficulty as a child,
mm-hmm.
or you become the black sheep of the family, the one that doesn't fit. It's very interesting. You've got a lot of breakup emotionally here early. I mean, early, like, you know, before five, even maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is a decided path that should be different from, the rest of your family. This is your, what we call your heart line here. And it's very nice. It's smooth. It's sweeping up across your palm. We want it to come up between the index finger and, you know, the famous second finger. And it's heading in that direction. You don't seem to be having a lot of trouble with emotion, although I think as a 17-year-old, and this could be a GP statement, but I think you're extremely sensitive.
Oh, yeah.
I think rejection is really, you know.
I cry every day.
He's fancy.
Your success line is very high. It's very noticeable. It comes right up the middle of the palm. It's coming up between Saturn. This is the Saturn finger, your second finger, Saturn. Your third is Apollo. Has a lot to do with the arts when it swings up near Apollo. Has a lot to do often with writing. You have that stubbornness too, but you, if you at rest, your thumb wants to go into the palm, which means that you desire more bonds with other human beings. It's going to be very important in your lifetime that you find a team. And by the way, the red in your fingernails mm-hmm. indicates your blood pressure.
Oh,
you've
does
got,
it?
Yeah, you're young and you've got a high red purple here already. So it is indicated here. And you may have noticed before that your fingertips are a little padded at the top.
Okay.
Not everybody's are. We get this for, ambassadors have this, very sensitive
well.
People that work medically. And you have what they call the spatulate
okay.
fingernail, which is usually given to spatial people. Engineers have it. People that see a lot of stuff in their head and then bring it down into reality.
This is the best wow. I've felt all year.
Oh,
this is the most confidence I've had. She's right. I hate my family. I like people. My blood pressure is through the roof. And I'm on this show. So that success line has it's gone in the direction I hope it would. My blood pressure is through the roof and one traffic accident away from my heart seizing up on me.
And your lifeline is very long.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Now, on our
I fear
schedule,
death.
It says it has the term clairvoyance.
Thank you so
yeah.
much.
Yes.
What is the what is it the exact means, definition?
It, clairvoyant means above vision or vision above the regular or the human, having more clarity in the intuitive or your soul level.
Wow.
Should she do me or
yeah.
yes?
Yeah,
yeah,
we got time.
All right.
I'm scared of dying.
What? Yeah.
You want to do? Can you do something other than the palm reading,
sure.
or you want to do like a physical thing? What would you like to do with Josh? I mean, let's.
Do you have a question?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and she said off air. She said
right side of your neck is definitely off.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Whoa! We've been saying that, dude. It's
what,
jacked up.
What does that mean?
It means that skeletally, probably as you age, you're going to have a little trouble with that. Probably with the left hand, you'll probably have difficulty with that right hip a little bit.
What?
It just because as you age. Sorry, as you age. You may have more difficulty, you know, because you're nobody's in shape. I've never seen a perfect skeleton.
Okay.
Did you have your wisdom teeth out on your right bottom side?
I had them out somewhere. I don't remember if it was the probably.
I bet it's the right bottom side.
I would keep an eye on that right bottom side. But again, I'm looking at you at 56, so I think you're okay.
50s. God, so I'm
he's
going
to make it to 56? Well, yeah. We never thought
God,
he would make it that
yeah.
long.
Is he making it to 56?
At 81, I can see him
Stop
at 82.
It. Yeah. Oh,
until 82?
Yeah.
No, you're not dead at 82. I can see you at 82.
Oh, how far do I get make it?
Right now, you've got a shot somewhere between 84 and 87.
And how do I look?
In terms of
awful,
how...
like
no,
physically?
No, you look like you're about at 74%.
And what about
he's
mentally?
He's going to be 74% at 82. Good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Mentally, I'm just a mess, right?
No, you actually have a lot of psychic ability.
Oh.
You have a lot of that inner, you know, you come across almost like an Aries in ways because you've got that ability to see the next thing coming, but you don't expose it until you're sure of it. Almost like a sleuth. Aries has a way of being the scout of the zodiac, you know, the first one to find the Indians ahead or the, you know, to find the new route. You've got a love for that.
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Do you want to do my... yeah, I want to
ask
hand
her about
done.
Something. We were talking off air and you brought up the term death doors.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What does a death door mean? And can you maybe talk about that in relation to Josh? Is that how that works?
She said
how
I was a scientist.
Yeah, I was just going to say, a death door is not just that last door you take when you physically finally die.
No, you said everybody has multiple
well,
death doors.
That was a little general. Not everyone does. Most people do though most
right.
people have that close call that gets them to the door but they don't cross over. Then you have the people that are in the middle of the heart operation and they see themselves above the bed, you know, that's a death door, you know, that's kind of crossing over. There really are, like, there, you know, our third grade and fourth grade and fifth grade here, there are gradations to stepping into what we call heaven, and there really are times when you can step back. But
whoa.
You know, if you've had a near-death experience, maybe you drowned. Maybe you had such a close call. I had I've had four death doors. But one was on a highway where I knew I was gone. I knew the truck had hit me and everything. And I found myself on the side of the road, totally, you know, almost unconscious. So reality can be displaced. Your higher self can change anything.
Remember what she said when she was reading my palm about the turmoil at age five?
Yeah.
Age five was when I almost drowned in that pool.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
You didn't know about that?
No.
You don't? Boy, that's a story. You don't know what's happened then?
What about, can we do
get
a wrap up here?
My dad might not want me to tell that story.
What about companionship? Can you speak on, is that a thing you can?
Sure. Ask me the question.
Josh, we would like to know. Josh has a dog, Farfel.
Uh-huh.
And he just had recently, he recently had a dog, Pumpernickel. She passed. He has a new dog, Farfel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he, but in terms of human companions.
Farfel is at home.
Right.
But Farfel's the new dog.
Yes, but we're talking human.
Pumpernickel is at home.
What do you mean?
Where was Pumpernickel? Did you have Pumpernickel when he was three?
Yeah.
He's in the
She
is in the house that you were at when she was three. She's in those memories. She's curled up on a bed, but she's three. Mm-hmm. She's doing the life march that we do.
Right.
And she's not conscious yet. She's coming. She will come into that because, mm-hmm. They have, none of us do. They're mammals like we do. But I can promise you, are there three steps up in your house anywhere? Just three?
The base of the steps before you make that
what
turn.
What about the base of your bathtub?
Three's. That's two. Three, maybe on the deck.
All I can tell you is they keep showing her going up three steps.
Uh-huh.
And so you will see her. You'll hear her. You will see her in the house.
What?
Awesome.
Let me tell you how. Cool. All of a sudden, you'll be real tired or you'll be laying in bed and you'll think you're awake, but you're not.
Uh-huh.
And you'll hear her. You'll see her out of the side of your eye. The peripheral gives us the advantage of the intuitive or the higher self.
Yeah.
They have that same advantage we do when they cross.
Yeah.
But she's in the house she was in at three right now.
Wow.
We would love at some point,
I want to say this very kindly. You did have her extra time. She was supposed to go in May. They showed her at the end of May.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Damn.
I'm glad you had the extra time.
Giving me the feels.
Give me a tight chest. Give me the misty eyes right now.
I'm feeling feels right now.
We got to go. We're so late.
Dr. Gwen McGregor, thank you so very much.
Just quickly, can you just say, what about two-legged companions, a human companion? Is Spiegel.
You're not dating the blonde?
I'm not dating any blonde, though.
What
I'm not
is happening?
Not, am I dating a blonde? No, I'm not dating a blonde.
Damn, Dr. McGregor.
Wow.
You telling me he's got a companion? What are you telling me?
Maybe he has an interest in a blonde.
I'm 42.
43. Watch out.
Next year, baby.
What?
Next year's the year, brother.
Next year, Spiegel.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Gwen. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Incredible.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Thursday, a discussion was had about people that will feed animals. And, there's a whole other argument to be had here that if you feed animals and they start to gather and they start to congregate and one squirrel turns to two turns to eight turns to 40. You have this ecosystem in your backyard. Aren't you depriving them of their natural instincts and inclination to hunt for themselves?
I was going
to
say, you're almost doing them a disservice.
Yeah, because you go and move, and next thing you know, their food source, their food spigot gets turned off, and then they're just a bunch of fat, diabetic raccoons heading out into the world to be torn asunder by whatever predator gets them first.
The other thing I was thinking about is, we heard a whole bunch of about the stray cats, and you're a cat lover, a cat person. Is it wrong for us to yell at these people to knock it off? Are they Is there straight? Is this?
If it's their property,
it's a cat. It's not a raccoon. You know what I mean? It's a stray cat. It doesn't have a home. Are these people giving these animals homes, or should they just knock it off and let these animals be stray animals? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is it the home or is it just a food source? You heard me bring up, I'm glad we're doing this behind the curtain because I teased earlier that, there's this cat around my neighborhood and I never got around to talking about it in the discussion. There's this cat that's everyone on my street, myself excluded, just sort of leaves food out for. And then you go to the Facebook page of the neighborhood and they're all bitching about stray cats. But then you all leave this cat food everywhere. I even think the cat's got like four different names. Like everyone calls it something different.
What kind of cat is it?
Black cat. Well, black cat. Oh, that one. I don't know. What'd you call that? Is it tabby?
Dude, there was one of those in... And I got this light that shines into my backyard.
Love a tabby.
And it lights up, and it actually shines like out back into the yard. So it lights up the bushes and the trees and the grass, and you can kind of see the yard. And I every morning or night, like I peek out there just to see like what the hell's going on. And I peeked out this morning, and this giant cat was sitting there just staring at me. It freaked me out. I was like, what the hell?
You see the light bounce off of those eyes.
Oh, yeah,
you
man.
See those two forward-facing predatory eyes. You're like, oh, this is how I die. Oh, this is cool. I didn't know there was just some small imp ready to tear me apart.
I wonder why we don't have more stray dogs here in America. Like other countries, they're a big problem, but here it's just cats.
I think it depends on where you're at. Detroit is riddled with them.
Oh,
Guam
really?
Is covered in them. I think for the most part around here, cats can slink away easier, and smaller dogs are usually in some... rich chick's baby stroller dressed up in, you know, Coach and Hermes. So,
yeah, I think dogs like us more. So it's tough for them to just, I don't know, exist in the wild without human companionship.
Yeah, you're not going to find a Corky living behind a recycling dumpster somewhere. We had to talk about it. We continue it now on Behind the Curtain, Feeding Strays. Guys have some ecosystems in your backyard. Josh, yours was on purpose. Scott was willed his by the former owners of his home. Feeding wild animals. He showed me a video this morning. We have to get it up on the social medias of a guy. I believe the video was man feeds trash pandas. And he's just like throwing scraps of food out his back door. And you see like the glow of some very small yellow eyes. You're like, oh, I think that's a raccoon. And then they open the door, and it's 20 raccoons, and they're just, there's a herd of them, and it's got to be bad for your yard, it's got to be bad for your health. One raccoon, adorable, it's like they're going on some cartoonish adventure to the Land Before Time. 20, they're going to strip the meat from your bones.
Yeah, like birds are okay, like Spiegel has a bunch of bird feeders, that's fine, but then the bird feed, you know. Then that brings some squirrels. Squirrels are still kind of okay. They're basically just rodents with fluffy tails.
Cute.
But like this video, I got to find it and we'll post it. I mean, there has to be 20, 25 raccoons on this guy's back deck right at his back door.
Yeah.
It's like, why? You can't be of sound mind to do something like that, right? You have to be like a little touched in the head.
Oh.
Like that. Why would you want 25 freaking raccoons? And like you said, knowing that your place is the place for a free meal.
And they expect it.
And they start to expect it. And it's just, no.
I just have to imagine that they're filthy. I mean, they're raccoons. Their diet consists of your garbage and the can it comes in. I mean, they can like chew through trash cans and human bone.
Maybe they can wash their face with their human-like hands.
Which is human-like. Oh, show him the one with the hands coming up from underneath the deck.
Oh, Josh, you want to know pure horror? Yeah. This looks like something out of a Resident Evil video game. Like slaves trapped in a cannibal's basement reaching up through the floorboard.
Someone help us, they're using us for food.
But it's raccoon hands. Oh, I got to show you this. Raccoon, just search raccoon hands porch. I'm going to tweet this out at JSS98Rock.
Okay.
Get out of here.
Oh, damn.
How horrifying is that?
Damn, son.
Damn vato.
Wow. Yeah, that's horrifying. I would move.
Totally horrifying.
I would move.
That's what I'm saying. It's these like, people are like welcoming these things. I'm moving.
They're my little friends, and they give me scratchy hugs, and they give me bite kisses.
Yeah, I tweeted at
smooches.
Scott98Rock, and I tagged at JSS98Rock and at 98Rock. And if you want to retweet, it says, "That's too many raccoons," is the title.
Yeah, I just put out the one myself.
It is way too many raccoons.
It's too many raccoons. It's an excessive amount of raccoons. So you bought a place where the old owners, God love them, but they would like feed the local fauna.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not complaining. It was just, you know what happened? What had happened was we moved in right in September.
And apparently that's when the beech nut tree blooms its nuts and drops the nuts down all over the place.
When I lay down there, my face
and
towards the sky.
Those things are like candy for the wildlife. They love it. Like inside is a little nut. We can eat it. You got to just pry it open. It's hard to get to.
It's nature's Toblerone.
But it's a very important nut. It's very tasty. It's like high in a lot of fat. So these animals were going crazy for these nuts, getting ready for the winter. But the nuts are gone, so the animals are kind of like, they're kind of gone. And, you know, I don't mind a squirrel here and there. I love them. They're fun. They're fine. There's little chipmunks running around. And, you know, I'm not going to try and get rid of them, but to actively welcome them to, like, your back porch is, I don't understand that mindset.
Jungle.
Got a lot of text about this.
At JSS 98 Rock, you can see some examples of it.
Inviting wild animals up to your door.
Oh, look, we got ourselves a little squirrel here. Pennywise's your arm clean off when you try and feed the thing a pecan.
The one texter says, my next door neighbor in the Florida Keys took care of about 20 stray cats and another 10 or 15 or 20 raccoons. She would leave out bags of cat food for them to eat every night.
I'm a cat lover, and that ain't happening. I'm taking care of me and mine.
My grandfather lives in West Virginia, and he's having a leopard problem.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
It says a leopard problem. Are there leopards in West Virginia? It keeps attacking his livestock.
I hear it's a spotty problem. Okay. Do they have spots?
Is that the only spots?
I believe they
check
do.
That real quick.
Because that won't work if they don't have spots.
Give me 2 seconds.
And another one says, my mom started feeding a cat outside a few years later. She's feeding like 20 cats and kittens, birds, squirrels, possums, foxes, raccoons. Actually came right up her door to eat cat food. That's too much.
Fripp Island, South Carolina. My friend Pete's mom had a retirement home. They have a golf course that's surrounded by swamp water and gators. And she never did it, but her neighbors just considered the pond full of reptiles just like a trash incinerator. And they'd throw food into the damn thing. And you'd see like a chicken breast get lobbed into the drink because it had gone bad. A second later, some damn thing would go and snatch it up and pull it into the briny deep. And they started getting confident. Gators would start moving their way up to the shore because they're just expecting some old broad to throw what's left of the cinnamon crumb cake in there or last night's, you know, souffle. Let's go to the phones, 410-338-1098. First and foremost, let's talk to an expert on the matter. Let's talk to Dave Shoemaker. Shoemaker, excuse me, buddy. What's up, Dave?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, buddy.
First off, congratulations on your new tour coming up.
Ah, thank you so much. Worldwide.
Can't wait to be there. I just need to shed a little bit of light on this situation with the raccoons and squirrels. This is the time of year where they're looking for a place to give birth. And they always find a hole in the attic, either the soffit or a gable vent. Not only do they bring in food for the winter, they also bring in fleas, ticks, and lice. And they chew your wires and insulation up.
And then they turn your attic
into their toilet.
Yeah! Oh, God.
Now, I need you all to look up this. There's two words you need to look up. Raccoon, roundworm.
Oh, damn, no.
It's a parasite that some raccoons carry in their feces.
Dude, see?
And it is deadly.
Oh!
See, I know we're not crazy. You shouldn't be doing this, right, Shoemaker? It's not good.
Absolutely not.
You find your own
it's
food.
Natural to feed wildlife.
Oh!
What you're doing is you're bringing them closer to your home. You're giving them a false sense of security.
See?
The ones that can't find their own food that would normally die in nature now become a sick raccoon living in your property.
Oh, my God. You're making too much sense now.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Dave.
Shoemaker, Animal Control.
Thank you. Shoemaker, Animal Control. For all your animal control needs, the official animal control of the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show.
And it's funny. He said that they're giving birth this time of year because remember I said I was walking to put my trash cans away and there was a squirrel acting real weird. I'm like, dude, this thing's bugging out. He climbs up the tree, like halfway up the tree, stops and looks at me. He's making this noise. And then I'm coming back and I hear this noise from up top in the tree, like the nest. I hear like this.
Oh.
And they had baby squirrels up there and he was protecting the babies.
Oh my God. Raccoons have been known to attempt to have sex with house pets.
See?
Oh, Josh.
You're going to have a squirrel raping your dogs, people.
Oh, that's a raccoon behind a beagle.
Yes.
Or a raccoon raping your
dog. That beagle ain't into it.
And it's got its human-like hands firmly attached to the beagle's hips.
Come here, you. Yeah. How's that treating you, huh? Oh, he's not going to feed me what's left of that pretzel snap of his. I'm going to snap off a piece of that butt.
Let's go to Richard in Baltimore. Richard, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
My grandfather, he routinely feeds the squirrels in the neighborhood. Like, if you go up to his house, they're all standing in the driveway screaming at you. But, he was driving his car one day and, like, heard a noise in the back seat. And there was a squirrel somehow had followed him into his car.
Oh!
And so he, like, hears it rustling around and pulls over and had to roll down all of his windows and wait for the thing to crawl out.
Oh, my God.
No, hard pass.
Thank you.
No, you should see me when I think there's a bee in the car. Much less
a squirrel.
Yeah, pissed off squirrel in the backseat of that car. What the hell is that noise? Oh, God. Oh, well, this is weird. Josh in Pasadena. Josh, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Great name.
Oh, I appreciate it. I like the raccoons mating with your animal. I have a beagle, actually. So.
Oh, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Get a chastity.
I have crazy hoarder next door neighbors. I live in a townhouse. They actually leave out rotisserie chickens, whole loaves of bread. They'll pop bags of popcorn.
What?
They got an assortment of wet and dry cat food.
Oh.
They feed anything that comes by. I mean, last night, me and my wife were out back on the deck and we're chasing off raccoons. I mean, there's like a whole family of them. So it's been an ongoing issue for us. But them things are crafty. We actually have like a fort with our patio chairs around our trash cans to try to keep them away.
Have you talked to them? Like, hey, would you please stop serving them a three-course meal with dessert? Because the minute that they get done, or on the way to their house for that daily smorgasbord, they got to stop by your spot, dig into your trash cans, crap all over your lawn furniture. I bet they're insane, aren't they? I bet you never see them change
absolutely.
Their outfits, and their hair product looks to be canola oil.
They have their whole entire yard filled up with any random thing you can find. They have actual flower bushes with artificial flowers inside of them. She's known to come outside and randomly yell about nothing. So
fantastic.
She ever come outside naked?
Yeah.
Oh no, she's God, please no.
Thank you, buddy.
Well, like in an ill-fitting like nightgown with nothing on underneath it, and a giant breast just flops out.
Just one gross breast off the side, or you can. She's totally covered. She turns around completely bare-assed. Yeah,
giant bare-ass. You with just like see her soils.
Oh God, her old gross cauliflower butt. Let's see here. Oh wow, see now this is what I'm worried about. Chris, PA. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's going on?
What's your deal?
So when I was in like sixth grade, I grew up on a farm up in Pennsylvania, and my mom has some weird connection with animals, loves feeding them, stuff like that. And my dad had chased a family of raccoons out of the barn, and because they, you know, they can be dangerous. Well, then, like a day later, I was throwing the ball with a dog into the yard, and it ran into some bushes, and the raccoon tore its tongue up real bad. And it must have been the ones my dad ran out. So I went running up, and I got a little torn up. And so I ended up having to go to the hospital and get rabies shots when I was, like, I guess 12 years old it was.
The dog, the raccoon attacked the dog and tore your dog's tongue up?
Yeah, at least it was pretty bad.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, God. That raccoon gets beaten to death with a pickaxe if it messes with either one of my cats or God forbid. I can only imagine, Josh, what type of damage is Farfel pulling off on a raccoon?
Oh, he's well. Terriers, I read, are natural born killers.
Yeah.
He chases anything that moves.
Yeah,
and he would murder a raccoon.
Oh,
he would kill it.
Hell yeah.
He will. You should see what he does with bugs.
Oh,
he plays with them.
Uh huh.
And then he kills them.
Oh,
he killed any? What's the biggest thing he's killed so far? Anything?
Josh's will to live.
It's time to go behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Saturday morning. We'll see you later today over at the Dip Bowl at Game, right there in the shadow of M&T Bank Stadium. Come on out. $5 gets you in. You can sample a bunch of great dips and have a good old time. Whisker Fish, Doc Martin and the Flannels are all playing. We'll be out there. And on Wednesday, I think it was, we started talking about, and I don't know if the rest of you guys felt this, but as we started talking about it and people were checking in and we were talking about how now work spaces kind of need to be devoid of any kind of personality and decorations and people being triggered or offended. With me, it just got so absurd as to the, like, how far it has gotten and how far it's going to continue to go. We had a guy that you'll hear, well, this was later in the show during neglected text. One guy texted and he said he can't even put a picture of a car up.
Yeah, car or JCPenney ad. Who's offended by a car?
What?
By the way, the most offensive car is an electric car. So that's...
I don't know. It's, you know, it's one of those stupid things. It's like, well, where does it end? And it's a slippery slope. And
well, they're right. If you can't put a car up, it is a slippery slope. If people are offended by cars, what is it? I can't afford that car. Therefore, you're financially shaming me. So you can't put it up there.
And, you know, we don't really talk about it, and we didn't get too specific with it back on Wednesday. But there was a point in time where they came around here and they said, all this stuff has to go. Like, just clear it all out. This is the way it's going to be from now on.
No cleavage, like, no skin, no, we can only see
no,
ankles.
Like, no, nothing. It was just yeah. Like, we want this. We're about it.
You want to have like
what
IKEA.
What percentage devoid of personality were at this point? Like 90?
We're actually kind of slowly building it back up a little bit again, but
not me. Maybe you are.
Yeah, I guess we are in the back. But yeah, I mean, when you were a producer back there over the years, and Greg DeDouche contributed too, but that office was just plastered with posters and other memorabilia.
And it was cool and fun and memorable and had personality, and it was a great, fun, creative space. Now it's a gray freaking square.
Yes, this is a left brain job. This is an arts job. It is.
Yeah. No, yes.
You have a comedy show. You can't then take anything that's that side of the world or that side of the brain and remove it from what you do. It doesn't jibe. You follow what I'm saying? You do need to be able to have some freedom of expression back there based on what you guys do here. It is strange that they don't see that.
Or they see it and they just don't give a rat's ass. I don't understand. And it's like Mike said, you know, none of it, and the stuff we took down around here, it wasn't an offensive thing. None of it was offensive.
It was art, right? Basically, or
it
maybe
was just cool, man.
Odd,
I have a picture
cool
of it somewhere,
yeah.
Like my workspace. It was right after we took over the new morning show, and I was sitting back there, and I had my like feet up on the desk, and I was just reflecting on my life and the new show, and I was looking up at that wall, and I took a picture of it, and it was just a cool, like, collage of, just like Mike said, some of it was memorabilia, some of it was stuff from the show, some of it was stuff I liked. It was just cool imagery. And now you go back there and there's like three things on the wall, and it's just a square blank gray black wall, and it's like, or gray wall, and it's like, I don't know. I guess, you know, those right brain people that run the office, they don't get it.
It's a damn shame. Damn
well,
shame.
It's the day and age we live in. Hear about it now. Behind the curtain, Justin Scott and Spiegel, 98 Rock.
How you doing, Nate?
I'm great. How are you?
You don't sound great.
Go ahead, Joe. Why don't you do some crowd work with Nate?
No, I'm just...
I want you to do crowd work with him.
When he came in, right, he now. Literally was like, ugh, I have to be on the air. I mean, this has to be a big deal, but for Nate, it appears to be a nuisance, like he's bothered by it.
Yeah, Nate gets very nervous to be on the air.
Oh, he's nervous. Okay, I got you.
Is it nerves, Nate? And it manifests itself as...
I'm just too tired to experience emotion currently.
Why are you so tired, Nate?
I had a late-night interview last night.
A late-night interview?
Yes, for another internship.
At another radio station?
No.
You're supposed to keep that to yourself.
It was at a studio.
I gotcha.
Now, would that be a conflict with this internship?
No.
No? Now, is that a studio? Because Nate does music.
I do.
Okay.
Nate produces beats. His beat maker name is Cartier Dad.
Yes, shout out I.
Oh.
Is he good?
And you can find him on SoundCloud, and he's great.
You've got to come up with a better name if he's
Why?
Good.
What's wrong with Cartier Dad? I like that name. Nate's making gestures with his face.
Yeah.
You don't like the fact that Joe said you need a new name.
I mean, feel free to try and top that, but...
Minivan
yeah,
Mom?
Let's see you do better, Joe.
Minivan Mom.
Yeah.
I like Cartier Dad. How did Cartier Dad come to you?
Well, the dad part is because I'm fatherly from my physique to my general lack of emotion.
And you are. You're very dad-like.
Thank you. And then Cartier just sounded cool, so.
I like it. I got no problem with that.
All right.
The thing we do might have a problem with is the wallpaper on your computer back in the pit.
Mm.
I don't have a problem with it. It just kind of caught everyone's attention, I think is all, because your computer is right by the doorway. It's big two sliding glass doors, you know, right back there.
Oh, yeah.
He sits right there, right through the glass doors. His computer can be seen by everybody.
All right, real quick, is this being revealed to the audience for the first time? Because I don't even know what you're about to say.
Is it still out? Is it still? Can we show him the pic somehow? Where is it?
It's a picture of Zoe Kravitz.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's nothing too...
I didn't think it was.
I thought it was rated PG.
I thought it was, too.
Really and truly.
But apparently, I mean, everybody walked in. I was more or less like, oh, who's that? I was like, whoa, look at that. That's...
daughter of Lisa Bonet and Lenny
Nate's,
Kravitz,
you know,
right?
He's settling in here. He's making his computer, his workspace his a little bit. He's personalizing it. He put up a wallpaper on his computer of Zoe Kravitz, who's stunning.
That picture, Mike, you're looking at right now, that's the picture that's the wallpaper?
It's hard to find. I don't know what the hell it was. But it was nothing shocking. But I don't know why Mike, what did you think about it? Because you admitted that when Katy Perry was big, breaking big, you know, however, 8 years ago, you had Katy Perry wallpaper.
Yeah, and I think it may be an age thing. You're at that age. Well, because you're single, right, Nate?
I'm at that age, yeah.
So, I mean, all you're thinking about right now is women.
I'm actually very focused on my career.
He wants to bone his career.
The second thing you're thinking about a lot is women.
Yeah.
Especially at that age when, you know, you're still trying to, just trying to get some, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I think that's just on your mind a lot. So maybe that's why you want to,
Here's how it started.
Yeah, what was your thought process?
Last week you all were having a conversation about something and Lord came into the...
Oh, yeah.
The topic, and you were all saying, oh, we find Lord attractive.
Justin said that.
Looks like a pigeon.
And then the lovely assistant producer Sam and I were also talking about what other celebrities we found attractive. Zoe Kravitz popped up.
She's up there for you? She your one seed, 1A?
No.
Two seed? Who's your one seed?
Rihanna.
Oh, dude, Rihanna. Yeah. Oh, my God. That work video. She got her nipples out the whole time, dude. That's you can phenomenal. See her nipples the entire time. Well, I think Rihanna's a good pick.
Is it safe to say you're into ethnic women, Nate?
I am into all kinds of women.
Yes.
You know, what is strange is that in the older generation, like my generation, you know, when I first started, when I was Nate's age in the workforce, you know, people would keep, but Playboy in their desk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
They'd be smoking in the workplace.
Now. Can't do it now. We're to the point now where he put up a picture of Zoe Kravitz on his computer. It wasn't racy. It wasn't anything. It was the picture of a beautiful mixed woman. And we all walked in and went, oh, whoa, look at that. That's interesting. Is that, that's where we're at now. It was nothing. It's literally nothing, but it might be something.
What's interesting, though, is, Nate, how old are you, Nate?
22.
Yeah, so he's young, but he's from a generation where that really isn't, you know what I mean, objectifying women in some way. I don't know, maybe some people find it empowering, whatever. That's rare to see. He's kind of a throwback, Nate, to have a picture.
Yeah, most people would be like, that's not a... That picture is triggering me. That needs to be a non. It should be, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It should be a static image. We're only allowing images of trees, for nature scenes only. Nate, nature scenes only.
Going into a garage and actually seeing a nipple. Like when I was getting my car fixed, you'd go in there, just hang right on the wall in a place of business.
Right. Yes. Back in the day, you could go get your oil changed and the mechanic would have a nudie calendar up.
Yes.
Coming up, we're going to talk about, what are we talking about, Mike?
Just this new workplace atmosphere where, you know, it used to be not a big deal to have a swimsuit calendar up in your office. Now, like you said, we're afraid to even have a woman on a desktop background.
It's insane. Nate, otherwise known as Cartier Dad on SoundCloud. Check out some of his beats. Talented kid. We go back into the pit yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it was, and he had changed his desktop wallpaper. And we all kind of took note. We all went, huh? Oh, look at that. Look at what he's got there. He's got a woman on his computer.
Was it revealing?
No.
Low cut? Nothing
no.
like that?
Just that's where we're at, though.
I gotcha.
Well, that's the point we're at, where it wasn't even... And I wonder, Mike, do you think management could have said... I mean, management can always say something, but you think that would be
they?
Enough? Like, would they?
Oh, yeah. I bet you if...
Based on that photo that he had of Zoe Kravitz.
I mean, I remember... I was told to make my desktop background neutral once.
You were?
Yeah, when I was working on the AM side.
What was it that you
had? I can't remember. It wasn't like a nude woman or anything, but it it wasn't...
It was
frowned upon.
Yeah. It was
somebody
a woman's
spreading
colon.
Their cheeks. Yeah, I was told to make it a default
I saw
screen.
It and complain.
Well, remember...
Isn't there something I had to take down? What was
we had to clean up the whole office.
Well, yeah, clean
ago.
Is good. We had to take all that stuff down.
I remember what Scott had.
Personality.
Scott had a sphincter on his computer.
That was one of my favorites. And I thought I had something on the wall. Remember where we were like...
Well, did you ever put up that Nicki Minaj poster?
No.
That one would have been.
Yeah, that did not make the cut.
Well, what about like a Jessica Rabbit? Could you have a cartoon on there?
I don't know. Well, here's some texts from people we got. And these are all mechanics checking in. And God bless you. A full nude Playboy calendar hanging from my toolbox in the garage I work in. I work in a truck shop and we have nude calendars that the companies we buy our tools from supply said calendars. So
it's
like
throwback.
But that's the way it used to be, and it surprises me like that these big tool companies are even still doing that. I mean, I guess if you're hanging in your own personal space at home in a garage, that's one thing. But like in a communal garage, you get in trouble.
Well, I know it exists because, you know, even as a child, I remember walking in. That's the only time I got to see a naked woman.
It was, like,
was when Dad got his car fixed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Diesel mechanic. At the dealer I used to work, they told us that we had to take down all the Playboy calendars, and it was a mechanic shop full of men. It made no sense.
Yeah, he's actually on line 5.
Right oh, now. Shout out. All right, line 5, we'll get you in a second. Hang on. Yeah, and another one. Work at a truck shop, and we have nude calendars that the company we buy tools from. I think I remember.
Maybe if they made it a little more artsy, you could represent it as art and act like it should be protected in some way.
Especially around here, we had to take. I mean, I remember that wall I had, Mike, and it wasn't even anything. It was just kind of. It just made the space fun. It wasn't anything racy. It was just all weird stuff. It was just fun, quirky, cool stuff that I had hung up, and it all had to go. All of it.
Was somebody offended by it?
Nope. It was just a new policy around here.
Like, no, a no fun policy.
I don't know what you want to call
no
it.
Personality.
Don't enjoy
you
call your
it
workspace.
What you want, but that's
no
what
aesthetic.
It was.
No, and nothing aesthetically pleasing on the walls.
Let's go to Adrian, line 1. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Good. First of all, I have to say your intern sounds exactly like the brother from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes. Yes.
And he got a full body shot on his desktop.
Yeah.
So what's your story?
So it was about 10 years ago. I worked in construction. So, you know, you go into the subcontractor trailers and they have that stuff up. Doesn't bother me, whatever. So as sort of a joke, I got my female boss a calendar of very good-looking shirtless men who were knitting.
Yeah, hilarious. Great, I love it. So what's the problem?
And the dudes freaked out, and they made her take it down.
Yeah. Yes, we get
insecure.
The double standard goes your way for once. Take it down.
Yeah, and it was like hung behind her door, like no one could even see it. But just the fact that they knew that it was there just freaked them out.
I got it. You said you work in construction.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why is there so much construction? Everywhere I go, I'm in 20-minute delays.
You're thinking road construction. That's not the only construction there is. Josh.
Are you road construction or something else?
No, I do buildings.
Why is there so much building construction?
There's
everything is like unfinished.
Yeah, why are you building so much?
Because subcontractors are slow.
Okay.
Well, what do you
and
do?
They don't
you,
finish quickly.
You work a jackhammer or something?
She works in one of them trailers.
No, I do construction management, so I'm in charge of getting the subs to do their stuff on time.
Boring.
Thanks for the call. Line 2, let's go to John in Baltimore. What's up, John?
Hey. So all the field workers in my company weren't getting along for a while, and I part-time in the office, so me and my buddy took a picture about half an inch away from kissing each other, and I posted that up in the office, and
After about 2 weeks, they took it down because they said it was bordering on sexual harassment.
See? Oh, yeah. That's the big one you're going to get with a lot of these is the sexual harassment.
The other thing, too, is not just, you know, posting stuff up on the wall, but also what you're looking at online. I've definitely become more conscious of.
You mean just like as you're sitting there at your desk?
Right, because I mean, sometimes I'll be on the website Reddit, and I happen to follow the subreddit Hard Bodies. and one will pop up in my feed, and I'm like, do I click on it? I'm going to click on it real quick, and then I'll like click off of it real quick.
Oh my God.
What's the worst thing you've seen?
Like, well, look, this is on the subreddit.
That's, oh, look at that.
Yeah, take a look at that, Josh.
Oh my, yeah, you can't see that. Whoa.
Jeez.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Send me a link to that. See, that body, I can get
down
with.
Yeah. Let's go to Jacob. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Diesel mechanic. You're a real man, dude.
Oh, thank you. I try to be.
What do you know about that what do you know about blowing coal, that whole thing? What is
that? Yeah, tell us about that.
I think it's pointless. It's a waste of fuel, more than likely.
That's where they blow all that black diesel smoke out of their... What do you do? How do you do it?
Yeah, how do you blow back black diesel?
Most of the times, you just dump a bunch of fuel into the engine, not enough air to burn it all.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Sorry.
So what's up with your workplace?
Where I used to work at, they actually had us take all the calendars down, and we didn't know why. It was just they said people coming into the shop, they didn't like seeing it.
See?
You didn't know why?
Well, you said, but your tech said that it was a place, it was all dude mechanics that worked there.
Yeah. It was mainly for the customers.
So they were in sight. So customers did come into that space.
They weren't supposed to, but some did come down.
And there was just naked ladies everywhere. See, now that's is that a problem? That's a bit of
I love it.
But like Joe said,
it was a coming of age thing.
Yes,
yeah.
There was a time and a place where that was just, hey, we're going to the auto mechanic. We're going to get the oil changed, or we need the brakes done. And there was a very good chance that you were seeing some boobies.
Just
not
a bunch
anymore.
Of dudes. Just a bunch of dudes blowing black diesel.
Yeah, blowing.
When
coal,
I was a kid, my father had a book on a bookshelf with about 100 other books, and on one of the pages there was a drawing of a naked woman, and I knew exactly where that was.
Hell yeah, dude! Hell yeah!
Whoa!
One used to be a one. Whoa! A porn control officer. Yeah. Let's go to line two. Jack in Delaware. What's up, Jack?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Now, was this your job? What did you do?
No, I was a helicopter pilot. I used to fly the OH-58D Kiowa Warrior, and as a junior pilot, warrant officer in a cavalry squadron, you used to get all these weird additional duties like fridge bitch, and one of my jobs was to be the porn control officer,
uh-huh.
And we had a Foot Locker that was filled with porn, and whenever we'd go to the field to do training exercises, my job was to make sure that it got packed, that everything was categorized, that it was a respectable item, and all that. Well, about, let's see, when was that? That was 98.
That's hilarious.
And so about 1999,
yep.
We ended up with a female lieutenant, and our squadron commander made us all take it down. And but the funny thing was is that the lieutenant was more pissed off about losing the porn stash than the rest of us were.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
We had Red Grant in. This dude is a human laugh track who is going to be at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. He's a great dude. He always comes in a good mood. BaltimoreComedy.com. We and meant I will, to I get to... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you brought up about the laugh. And just based on the texters, very polarizing.
Yes,
some people
very.
Loved it. They're like, oh, this is the greatest laugh ever. It's
record
so
his laugh.
Yeah. And then some people are like, oh, God, this laugh. I want to drive off a cliff.
Yeah, people are making them laugh.
I'm on the board with the laugh.
If you could see, you know what it is? If you could see the smile that goes with the laugh.
Yeah.
He's kind of got that fun stray hand kind of grin with that that kind of cute gap. Big bright smile. Fun redhead of hair. Fun movie fact here. He shares a name with James Bond's greatest adversary, Red Grant of Smersh. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he had a real nice jacket. He smelled incredible. And maybe we'll get to the topic we're going to get to with him next week about places you've been kicked out from. We're going to talk to him about that. Never got around to it.
We still had a fun talk. He was a good dude. And go check him out at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. It's our time with Red Grant on Behind the Curtain.
Looky here.
No! Sleep in Brooklyn!
Yeah, whoa, look at that. Look at the spikes on that.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you clear as day.
Okay, good, good. No sleep in Brooklyn. Red Grant has just showed up to the early morning 98 rock. And then we about to rock!
I heard you were in the bathroom.
I had to
go pee-pee.
No, I mean, I had to definitely touch myself.
Small bladder.
Yes, you've got spikes. You have three spikes coming out of the right shoulder of your jacket.
Like most of a road warrior.
I hope a bird doesn't land on it. They'll get impaled.
Hey, man, I don't mess with birds, but on the golf course.
That jacket is sick.
Hey, you know, every
what are
time
the patches
I come in
on
here,
there, man?
I bring you a different jacket.
You do. That thing's killer.
I brought you a nice furry type of Alaskan husky coat 1 year.
Yeah.
And this year, you know, it's kind of warmer. So
I remember the last time you were in here. You looked like you were just getting done with the Iditarod. You had this big, fluffy bison fur coat. It's like the warmest thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
And now you look like you're auditioning for the next Mad Max film with them spikes. God, what are the patches about? What's all there?
Well, this is my clothing line, Grindstone Universal. I got a couple pieces out of there. And, I'm just fly this morning. I stay fly.
I'm not kidding, man. I love that, Jack. Some people have a shoe addiction. Watch addiction. Some people love PCP. Right. I love a nice jacket, and I love a black jacket. I got a bunch of them.
Yeah, well, black jacket's your speed.
I'm not kidding, man.
You can have this one. I tell you what, I'm gonna make it simple and plain. You know, I'm not a tie to this jacket. So if you want to wear it, and you're gonna wear
Here's
it.
Here's the thing, Red Grant.
You want to try it on?
Yeah, let him try it on. Yes, Red Grant.
I'll trade you these pants.
Okay. He can't pull that jacket off.
I don't think my scropies would go into your pants.
Let me try this real quick. This has become my new bit. Justin wears the comedian's jacket. Oh wow, dude, look at the patch on the back too.
Yeah,
he's just slick, heavier than I thought.
Whoa, this got some weight.
You know what I'm saying?
And that
is reflective. The patch on the back.
So you can go jogging in it.
Yes,
very nice.
Those are very sharp. Dude, you shoulder check somebody with this, they're going to the ER.
Hey, man. Sometimes you get into a nice hug match.
Ooh, perfect fit.
He's good on you, too.
Maybe a little tad big, but pretty decent fit.
Hope you don't mind if I go from zero to badass. God, I might start talking a little S today. Hey, Mike. You, man. What do you got?
Yeah, huh? We out here.
How's this treating you?
Yeah.
Huh? 90online.com, go to LiveWire. We got this. Check this out.
Well, that's a good fit.
That's good.
That's a good fit.
That's a good fit. Thank you, Red.
Yes, Grindstone Universal.
I'm giving you cash
really
for this.
Taking his jacket.
I'm not really taking his jacket. I'll buy a medium one.
I will not allow you to do that.
Do you do child sizes? Do you do a baby size? A little tiny fella? Oh, my God.
Look, where do you even find a jacket like that?
I got him online. Grindstone
I don't want to make
Universal.
This a race thing, but like the stores I shop at, they don't have stuff like
No, you got to go online to get that.
Grindstone Universal. Not showing up.
What is it?
Grindstone Universal.
Never even heard.
This is a kick-ass jacket. Hey, thanks, I love this thing, but
thank
I'm not going to do what I do on a Sunday.
Do
like,
it smell good?
Who
you know
wants bottomless
you
mimosas?
I'm trying to figure out what that cologne is.
This is very nice. That does smell very nice.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? I do take baths in the morning.
I take baths on Sunday.
You take baths?
Oh, man, you know showers. We call them baths in my community. Oh,
okay. Do you go?
So it's an actual shower.
You go loofah or washcloth?
I go washcloth.
You go washcloth?
Yeah, ask me any questions right now.
Stick in the landing.
Do you wash your feet or
what
your,
do you wash first?
Or your butt first?
More often than not, I botch it and go ass to face. both in the shower and in the bedroom.
Straight ass to face.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And there's
gosh.
A couple of times I brought that bar up and go, oh, man, I botched this. I messed this up. That's just because I'm dumb. Wrong order.
I don't understand why I go for my package first. I have to wash my package immediately.
Is it a sense of urgency?
I don't know. I just feel like, you know, that's the first place that needs soap.
Well, you're probably right. I mean.
There he is. Red Grant.
Red Grant.
Red Grant is here.
Baltimore Comedy Factory.
All weekend long.
Tonight and tomorrow night.
You should come out so I can sing my song.
And you were in the middle of a story off air that we had to go on air. And I said, hold it. Let's just tell the story on air. You were at the airport.
No, yesterday I was at the airport and I was, you know, I had my name was, I finally got all of my points together where my name would be first on the upgrade list. And I'm
Look
platinum.
At you. Look
and I'm
at
a platinum
you.
Guy. And they call me up, and I'm the first on the list, and it's the guy who's second on the list. And I walk up to the lady, and my body's sore from all this working out and swimming I'm doing. Ladies.
Your body, you say, Red?
My body's sore.
My mind's telling me no, but my body.
Yeah.
My body's telling me yes.
You're working
baby.
Out.
Baby. Oh, sorry. Nice. If you play that for black people, we start singing.
You're working out and swimming.
Yeah, so, you know, but I'm sore, and I tell the lady at the front, I'm like, you got a masseuse in first class?
Oh.
And she's like, I know. The guy beside me says, well, I'll massage you for $500.
What? So how quickly do you reach your checkbook?
And I say to myself, I said, whoa, well, who will be winning here? Now, I didn't know that was I participating in, did I come out the closet accidentally in that statement?
I'll twist my ankle reaching for my wallet.
How was
the massage? Was it good? Was it nice?
He sat beside me the whole trip. He's a nice guy.
You were really right next to each other?
Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. That's Steve with a TH.
Did you at least negotiate? Steve. You're like 200.
Come on, man. Listen, if we do this in the bathroom, you just cut me off for a 50 spot.
I didn't think my wife would like it.
You've got a lot of knots in your... Let me go ahead and let me sort them out for you. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Don't tell nobody.
Oh, yeah. Boy, someone offers that to me. This is me getting dragged away. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. I want my massage.
Oh, my God.
Did you consider it even for a moment?
No, I really had this. I had to not consider it at all. I felt like, you know what I'm saying, me and him would be holding hands or something. I don't know.
You ever had a hand massage?
Yeah, I love hand massages.
You know, our producer, Mike, with the curly hair and the broad shoulders, he gives a foot rub that is angelic.
Die for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. You had it, huh?
Well, Red, why don't we kick them kids off?
All right. And, well, when is he coming back?
As soon as he's done with whatever IBS situation he's dealing with.
Would you right now be willing to accept a foot rub from our producer?
It depends on how much you're going to pay me.
What? We're not paying
just
you. You got to pay
him. Handshake,
I got to pay him?
Crisp handshake.
Nah, he got to pay me to touch my feet, man. Because if it goes online, you know, I lose like 22 fans.
It will go online.
Easily.
Oh, speaking of going
you lose
online.
Some cred with that.
We did that.
Lose some cred. Let me ask you, though. Where does that fall, like, on the scale of... intimacy, like intimate acts,
uh-huh.
A foot rub from a guy.
Uh-huh.
Is it just one guy doing another guy solid? Hey man, let me just make your feet feel better.
Yeah,
or is it deeper than that?
Let me top you off.
Well, I mean, you know, you go into these places like the Asian guys. They, you know, they rub your feet. You know,
yeah.
It's supposed to be the most erotic place on your body. But
right,
yeah, it's supposed to take away all the pain in your body.
Second
so.
Only to the ding dong.
So, you know, I mean, if you're in a setting that, you know, is supposed to be done, but I don't think a studio setting would be too cool for him to be
we
rubbing my feet.
We can frost that window
Mike,
up.
No feet rubbing.
Mike, what are you thinking about?
I'm fine with that as well.
You good?
Sure.
I'm straight, too.
Did you smell him? I can only imagine. I bet your feet are so impeccably groomed.
Oh, my feet are nice.
I was going to say, I bet your toes are clean. You don't have any of that weird Yeti knuckle hair.
No, I don't.
Let me ask you this, Red Grant. BaltimoreComedy.com for showtimes and tickets. Baltimore Comedy Factory.
Yes.
Let's say you're like 11 years old.
Okay.
And your mom comes home from work and she's like, boy, I've been on my feet all day. My feet are killing me.
Right.
Red, you mind rubbing my feet for me? I'm just going to put my feet up here. Go ahead, rub mommy's feet. Rub mommy's feet.
I used to rub my mother's feet and she had some rough feet.
You used to rub your mom's feet?
Yes.
Because Mike did too.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, yeah. I did.
Yeah, look, we talked about this a couple years ago, and people came out of the woodwork. I'm not alone here.
Yes, I rub my mother's feet. I rub my grandmother's feet. I rub my sister's feet. I rub my own feet. Is this a coming out party?
Hi, I'm Red Grant.
Hi,
I'm Red.
Hi, Red.
Hi, Red.
Hey, guys. And I rub feet. I've been rubbing feet since I was 11 years old.
Foot Rubbers Anonymous.
My first foot was my mother's.
It started just with my mom's feet, and then my mom's friend feet, and that's...
Then I used to sneak girls' feet in the gym. Put your feet on my lap.
As long as you're...
That's why I started reaching underneath bookshelves in the library and just sneaking toe rubs and ankle tweaks.
I feel like as long as you're a kid doing it, it's not as bad. I mean, if you're like 18 and rubbing your mom's feet, then it, yeah, it's weird.
Well, see, I don't like when women have that baby toe that really doesn't have a nail on it.
Niblet.
And they put a little piece of like
they just put nail polish yes. on it without the nail.
Yeah.
It's haggard. That little chickpea. That failed yes. limb.
We know there's no nail under there. You're trying to trick us.
Yeah, we know what's up. All right, you got four toes. You four-toed woman with your web feet that enable you to tread water four minutes longer than I can.
All right, so I'm going to tell the truth since we talk about feet. So I messed with this girl before, and she had like a extra baby toe. I didn't know that it was a baby toe. I actually had a sixth toe. And I didn't realize it until after... I was already having sex and all
that.
Well,
by then, it's too, you don't care.
No, but I'm saying I felt it doing so, and it weirded me out. I finished.
I was going to say, not enough to make you stop. No.
So as your bodies are entangled, you're like, oh, yeah, I feel five toes on that one foot, and what the hell is that other foot? One, two, three, four, five, six toes on the other foot?
And that toe was aggressive. That was an aggressive pinky. Oof. It was a double pinky.
We presented you with two scenarios so far. May Mike rub your feet. Did you rub your mother's feet, which you did? Read scenario number three. Your father brings home a Russian masseuse to massage your entire body in front of the family. Now, before I continue, all these scenarios are real, and I'll let you guess who this one involves.
Okay.
You're a young Red Grant, and your father notices how tight and taut your muscles are from whatever varsity sport you've played, and he says, son, lie down and let Boris here sink his large grisly paws into your flesh to make you feel good. Do you let a massage therapist that your father hired from the motherland rub you down in front of the family?
Oh, man. How old am I?
Josh, how old were you?
Damn it.
I was about 14, 15.
Super normal.
Big Russian dude comes over to the house and rub him down.
I think he's looking up in the air, just looking at that moment again.
No, I'm just trying to distract myself from the moment.
You were so tense, Josh. Need to get into glute meat to shake loose knots from these delicious gender
babies. Your buttocks.
I must spread them apart.
It was just a gift from my father to me.
Yes.
He's not a machine, Rock. He's not a machine.
He gave me a Russian man.
This is rite of passage.
It is. In Spiegel household, you do not become man until man looks at your bottom hole.
He does bleed, Rock. He does bleed.
Yes. Use elbows.
I must break you.
Break your mother.
I must break you.
Nice beaver.
Can I see your feet?
Red, you are always a treat, man. Baltimore Comedy Factory this weekend. Mm-hmm. I've seen the show. I've seen you online. It's not to be missed. Red Grant. BaltimoreComedy.com.
It's called the Red Grant Faf Tour. FAFT. The funnest F Tour. So come out and enjoy it.
Check it out tonight.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
You got a couch getting delivered. Ran into a little trouble.
Potential trouble, but a crisis averted. Hashtag first world problems.
Thank God.
I got a new sleep sofa. It went downstairs, and when they put it in there, I was like, boy, that is, that's bigger than I thought.
That's a much bigger couch.
one of those moments.
Wow, that really fills the space.
Not really.
Oh, man. I love sitting a foot away from the TV. I like to feel the warmth of the screen.
All right. It was Wednesday, but then we had a going away party for Steve Huber. Shout out, Steve, wherever you are in this world. And Chiquita and her sister kind of took it upon themselves to rearrange the downstairs room. And when I got home, I was like, they kind of did what I thought we were going to need to do. Like, it was kind of sitting in the middle of the room, but they pushed it all the way back against the wall, and it works better. So now we have a cool little area down there, and it's going to be where my parents will sleep when they come to visit. And now they got their own little space, their own little
TV, a pull-out sofa with a memory foam mattress, a bathroom. It's going to be nice. Oh, it's going to be wonderful.
Oh, nice. I'm glad it all worked out. And for a moment, we thought it might not. Hear about Scott's couch delivery on Behind the Curtain.
We're going to talk about getting stuff delivered to your house or waiting. What's it called? It's called just waiting for deliveries. That hole where they call you. I'm having a sleeper sofa delivered today.
Oh.
And we went and bought it, and you know they say it'll be delivered in 4 to 6 weeks or whatever. I get a call the other day, and I answer it, which I normally don't do. And it's a woman. She's calling from the furniture place, and she says your delivery is Wednesday. We're just confirming the day Wednesday. You're going to receive a call in the next day or two, giving you the time of the delivery. There'll be a 4-hour window. And I said, okay. I said, well, can I, like, request, like, mornings or afternoons? Because I said, afternoons are way better for me. I know I'll be there. She goes, no. She goes, I can make a note here, but I can't guarantee anything. But the time you get is the time you get.
Yeah, so God forbid you interrupt a delivery person's life.
So they called me yesterday at 12:30, and they left me a voicemail. And granted, I got the voicemail later in the day, and I didn't have a chance to call them back. But they say that now my delivery window, which is for today, is from 7 to 11, a 4-hour window.
Right. The exact time you know you won't be there.
If I sprint out, and they have to be on the way back end of those 4 hours, and I have to sprint out of here and be home by maybe 10:30 to catch this freaking thing. So I'm on the phone with a woman. She goes, well, this is a couple of days ago. She goes, I can't guarantee anything, but I'll make a note here. And I go, okay. And she goes, and if you happen to miss the delivery and you have to reschedule it, there is a fee involved with that. I go, okay. I go, well, what's the fee? She goes, $100. $100 effing.
By the way, she made a note. Well, why? Would they look at the note and go, yeah, screw that guy?
Pretty much.
I mean, they literally looked at the note. You said, this is when I am not available. And they said, they looked at the note and they said, that's when we're delivering.
And they call. So they called me yesterday at 12:30 to give me the time. So the time is from 7 to 11. So from, let's say I get that voicemail, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock or whatever. So then by 2 o'clock tomorrow, I need to figure something out for 4 hours for the next day's morning. Does that make sense? Whose life works like that where you can just go, I guess I need to take off work tomorrow. Or I guess I have to be here just sitting on my ass for 4 hours waiting for these people to show up. And then if I'm not and I can't do it, which I can't because I'm here. And the wife's going to be gone by 7:30. then I have to pay $100 effing. Like, I'm out $100, basically.
By the way, what
I'm
happens?
Out $100 at this point.
No, you're
that's
not
ridiculous.
Out $100.
You should call the president of the company and complain.
You're not out $100.
Serious.
You're out at least $100. Because when they go to deliver it
again.
Yes, they're going to look at the note. And they go, well, last time we got this sucker for $100. And then they're going to try to deliver it to you're going to have to take. I'll get a morning. I'll get to work that morning.
And that was the thing. I mean, if Justin wasn't out today, I may have had to have taken off. And I don't think I have any days left.
Well, damn it. If you had taken a day off, I would have taken a day off.
You should just cancel the whole show because I got a couch coming and they're trying to gouge me for $100.
I could use a day off.
That doesn't make sense to me. There, obviously, you deliver within the workday. I understand that. But they're saying, we do not care when you are available.
That's what, when I said that, I said, well, can, normally they ask what your preference is. You know, do you prefer this? Or we have three windows you could choose from, like a 7 to 11,
yes.
An 11 to 3, a 3 to...
They're like, no.
There were no windows. There was no suggesting times. They say, this is the time. I went,
that
what?
It's an outrage.
And then when you're not there, it's $100.
It's the same. Maybe it's not the same, but it's similar to other, like the cable companies.
Well, that's what we're getting into. We're going to discuss this whole, like, waiting for people. But I feel like the cable companies and places like that have gotten a little better.
Yeah, there's a TV commercial. I don't know what company it is, that they actually sell themselves
yes,
as,
that
you know,
they'll be there at the time
there.
When you're there. And they now can text you and say, hey, we're going to be there within the hour, or, you know, we now have our schedule. It looks like we'll be there at 12:30, and then they'll call you and they'll text you, and they narrow it down a little bit. I got this 4-hour freaking window. Unless they show up, I think the wife leaves at like 7:30. Unless they show up right at 7 or 7:30, or between
10:30, yes.
I'm screwed.
Do they at least say, okay, it's a four-hour window, but we'll call you a half hour before?
I don't even know if they're doing that.
Yeah, Scott can't take a call right now. He's on the air. He can't.
I mean, if they do, what am I going to say? Be like, can you maybe?
You'll have to leave.
Throw it on the truck, because what they do is they pack the truck in the order of the deliveries, obviously. So they need to come off in that order. So they follow the route. The things come off in that order. Like, I'm just going to just throw it back on the truck, dude. Listen, if you're delivering a couch to me today and you're listening, just throw it back on the truck. You show up at 11. I'll be there.
Well, here's the thing. It's not that easy because it's a couch.
What does that mean?
Well, what that means is that if the couch is in the, they pack it in the manner that they have to remove it. But if it's already on there.
Take it off. Take this other thing off and then put it back on.
No, I understand that. It's a couch. It's not a lamp. It's a lot of work. No, I understand that. I'm just saying it's not as easy as
shimmy it out of the way.
You're making it sound.
Shimmy it out of the way.
But you are right to be outraged. That because not even everybody has the second half of an entire day available.
No.
You know, you're unique in that way. Most people at work the exact time that they're delivering. You can give them a 4-hour window that you'll be home that most people don't have. And they're saying, no, we won't even honor that 4-hour window.
Nope.
We're gonna deliver whatever we
and 100. Yeah, it's like a shakedown.
Let me ask you this. At what point, if it happens again, will you take off?
I have to. Whatever, I mean, listen.
You won't keep going. They're not going to pay $100 after $100.
No, I would have to take off. Right. If they call again with another early window, it's like, I got to take off. And what are you going to do? Sorry. I mean, I love my job here. You're going to fire me over one day because I got to get a couch. I got to get a couch.
So it doesn't sound right. I feel like you missed something. It's within the workday. Uh-huh. You understand it? I feel like you missed something.
What did I miss? I mean, what do you mean?
That you can say, I only can have this delivered in the afternoon when your drivers are delivering.
I talked to the woman in person, and she said, I go, well, can I select a time of day? And she goes, no. And I go, well, because afternoons work better for me. She goes, I'll make a note of it, but I can't guarantee anything. And I know that because she said that last line like 3 times to really hammer home the fact that they cannot guarantee that I can get an afternoon slot.
I would have said, I'd like to speak to a supervisor.
Yes, I guess I got it. You know, the other thing is, go pick it up. Is that an option?
No, what are you going to put it in?
I don't know. Like, this is what you got to do. That's
Michael,
what you do, right?
Because
I know the listeners are going to come at me and say some stupid stuff.
No, like, I think if that's...
You take yourself, you pussy.
No. If that's real, that is it's ridiculous.
All right, well, we're going to take a break. Give us a call, 410-338-1098, 410-338-1098. The whole delivery thing, waiting on deliveries, the four-hour window, we'll discuss. And I'll play the voicemail for you that I got yesterday. Getting a couch delivered today, hopefully. If I'm not there... After reschedule?
Odds are you will not get a couch delivery.
I'm at $100. So they told me. They gave me a hard window. We got a listener on line one, Scott in Baltimore, says he ordered a couch and they gave him a hard 4-hour window. That's where I'm at. Just seems like a pretty archaic in 2017 to do that, like not have options or... What's up, Scott?
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad, man. Good luck with that couch, man. I feel you on that, man.
It just sucks. I mean, not a big deal. Obviously, there's bigger problems in the world. But, hey, this is the one we're talking about right now.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I got a new apartment in the beginning of the year. And I went to a place that's right across the street from East Point Mall, a place that T-Sizzle promoted for the last couple years, if you know what I'm talking about. And they gave me a hard four-hour window from 12 until 4. Specifically, and the guys wound up not, actually, they gave me a hard way to go. I'm like, okay, well, if I'm not there, what's the deal? They told me basically the same thing, that there would be an extra charge. I can't remember what it was, but, I waited from 12 until 4. They decided not to show up until 8 p.m., that night. Whoa. I actually just got done laying down, and I couldn't get a hold of anybody. 8 o'clock at night, they decided to just start banging on my door.
You sound like Tiger Woods.
I'll do it.
All I know about this guy is he goes to bed at 8 o'clock.
Right. Yeah, but yeah, 8 o'clock. And on top of that, depending on the company you go to, man, the guy was acting like, you know, they were all in a rush and practically just threw my couch into the apartment.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other. Well, yeah, he's in a rush.
Thanks for the call,
8 o'clock at night.
Well, a lot of, getting some texts. I mean, these, the drivers, they have some sort of incentive where if they work quickly and they get all their deliveries done in a certain amount of time, they get, you know, compensated as such or whatever.
Well, that's the other thing. If they don't show up in the window, do you get to charge them $100?
That's what I was going to say. They were 4 hours late. They should compensate you. They should give you like sorry we were 4 hours late. Here's $50. No, it doesn't work that way. Of course not. He said they gave him a window, noon to four, and they don't show up till 8 o'clock at night. Well, that means laying down.
This guy probably had to take off work, and he could have not taken off work, eaten his dinner. Relaxed, watch a sitcom, yeah.
You want to talk to a delivery driver?
Sure. What's your excuse?
What's your excuse, Jason?
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. So the first thing that I've realized that a lot of people misconstrue that you guys' shipment aren't the only ones that's on that truck.
No,
so,
of course.
Like, I could have anywhere between 10 to 15 stops a day. You know, I'm dealing with 10, 15 customers a day, so... You know, when that driver showed up at that guy's house at 8 o'clock, he probably had 5 or 6 stops prior to that. And the reason why they're rushing is because they've been out all day. Also, DOT rules state that we cannot drive more than 11 hours a day. And also, you can work and drive up to 14 hours a day. After the 14th hour of coming on duty, you cannot drive. So, you know, them guys are probably trying to rush to get that couch off the truck so they can get home and, you know, and still stay legal.
Yeah, they were 4 hours late.
What's that?
They were 4 hours late. I mean, it's like...
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, to you, they're late. But if, to them, to us, you know, we got 6 stops prior to you. You never know what you got to go through to get that couch to the door. You know, if it's a third-story apartment, you got to climb up, you know, 3 or 4 flights of steps to get inside the door. The couch might not fit. Now you got to finagle.
Let me ask you this. We understand that we're not the only couch on the truck, right? We're not stupid. It's a big, giant truck. They load the truck according to the route. They put all the stuff that's got to come off first in the back and the stuff that's going to be the last, you know, all the way towards the front of the truck. Right. But how much time do they allot? They have to figure it out.
Yeah.
They have
to
say,
if
they gave this guy a 12-hour window from 12 to 4-hour window from 12 to 4, how long it takes to get there, how long it takes to get off the truck. They have to allot a certain amount of time and divide all that up. I mean, it's...
Right. At the company that I'm at with now, they actually had a team of engineers time all that stuff. And they give you like depending on where you have to go. But also a lot of other factors come into play.
Traffic.
As far as like... you know, just like how far out your first stop is and, you know, where your stop is. You know, if they say, okay, your delivery is going to be 8 to 12, you know, and you got another one that needs to be at 6 a.m., but you got to go all the way to Frederick or Pennsylvania or wherever, you know, it takes drive time.
Yeah, but that's got to be.
It's all got to be factored in.
It's
all
got to
be. You're not making any sense. It's all got to be factored in, Jason.
Well, hey, I got a delivery for
you. I paid good money for this effing couch.
Yeah, I got a delivery. It's between my second and fourth finger.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not mad at Jason, but whatever organizer they have, the person that schedules this, they're supposed to know how long it takes to get to the first stop. They do this math. I can understand the last, if you have a truck with 7 things on it, the last stop might be an hour late because it might have taken you a little longer than you thought.
But
4 hours, that's absurd.
Yeah. And to charge $100 if you're not there is absurd. Ashley Furniture.
Gave out the name.
Snap.
Look at this one. Line one. We got Sam, a girl. This is a good story. This is what happened with you, Sam?
My last apartment, I called and set up an appointment to have Xfinity come out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, Xfinity. Okay, go ahead.
And they were supposed to set up wireless internet and cable with a DVR box.
Got it.
He was supposed to be there by, I think it was 2 p.m. Mm. He didn't show up until 8:30 at night.
Whoa.
And didn't bring
what he needed.
Any of the stuff I ordered.
Right. So what happened? So, how did it all get resolved?
Well, he said they're going to have to reschedule, and the soonest they could come back was, I think, 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. So I called, and I wasn't rude about it, but I was very...
At that point, you don't even need to be rude. You just state the facts because they speak for themselves. The guys was 6 hours late. He didn't have any of the stuff he needed. They don't have a leg to stand on, really.
And well, I was assertive. They wound up paying my bill for 3 months.
Oh,
and then
oh,
when
that's
he
good.
Came
yeah,
back,
that is a good story.
Oh, it gets better. He came back 2 weeks later and still didn't bring half of what I ordered.
What?
Did you get another 3 months?
I got all four premium channels.
Yeah.
And all sports package free for a year.
Yeah.
Man, that's good. I want my cable to be late.
That's good. I like that they do that.
So, Scott, will you, if they... They want to deliver it again during the day.
I'm not paying that $100. You hear me?
You,
right. I'm not. I'm playing hardball. I'm going to say I don't want the couch.
Will you say
take the
I'm
couch
Scott
back.
Reardon?
No, I don't have do a, that.
You
I
know?
Don't do that.
What if you need to in order to get
no,
your $100?
No, I would say I'm not paying the $100 because you gave me a hard window the day before. That's ridiculous. You should have gave me some sort of option. Or if I can't be there, then I'm, you know, just reschedule it without charging me. And I'm not paying $100. And they go, well, you have to. I go, well, I'm not. And if you think I'm going to, then just take your effing couch back. I want my money back.
You should set the couch on fire right in front
you
of
you. Like, you want to be out like $500 or you want to be out $100? Which one you want to be out? You know what I mean? Hardball, is that the way to go? Somebody said that they could just, somebody wrote something about just have them leave it in the driveway. And then me and Mike can just bring it into the back of the house. And I don't got a problem with that, but don't you have to sign for these things? You got to make sure it's not damaged. You got to look at it. You got to say that you got it, and you have to sign for it. They just can't leave it, right?
Yeah, you essentially paid for it, too. And there's 364 Yelp reviews for where you bought your couch. Would you like to know how many are one star? 216. I'm sorry, 217. 217 out of 364, one star.
Where I bought my couch?
That's correct. One star.
Is that the whole? Was that a certain location though? Or
I'm
is
looking
that the
whole right
company?
Here, right here. Can you see that? Where? Right there.
No, that's Burbank, California.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know if it matters. Baltimore's probably worse.
Oh yeah, I just Googled
where
it by
I going,
name.
Mike, what are you shouting? Line two. All right, we got to go after this. Good morning. This is Chris. What's up, Chris?
I'm a delivery driver, and I can shed a little bit of light. All of my routes are done by a computer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All the time frames are adjusted by that, but the computer is not smart enough to figure out traffic times or if my delivery before you, the lady calls and says, oh, I'm running late, and I have to sit at her house and wait a half hour before I can even attempt to deliver. And then it's just playing catch-up for the rest of the day, dodging traffic, trying to get everything done, and we're walking in blind.
That makes sense. It all makes perfect sense. And let me ask you this, though. Is it like with the company that I used where they just gave me a hard time on my window and I said, can I request the afternoon? I can be around the afternoons. They go, no, we don't. I can't guarantee anything. I put a note, but that's not guaranteed. And then if you're not there, it's $100. That's obviously
that's
company by company. But that's right.
We will
that
do
seems
a smaller redelivery fee, but the big trucks we have, we're burning the gas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Scott, there are a few things better that you do than play Keith's emotions like a harpsichord from hell. And man, on Monday, did you ever with... And you'd had such a genius workaround. Pay attention to the break coming up where Keith is brought to the edge of sanity by all of us. And you do it, and this is regards to Flacco's performance 2 weeks in a row after two Ravens losses, where Keith gets called a homer a lot, but then you just simply read the texts of other people.
Right.
And kind of you could sidestep the blame. You could sidestep what you're doing. And Keith, this is just what people are writing.
This is what the people are saying, Keith.
Yes. Maybe they might be saying nice stuff, but we're not going to read those ones because we just want to drive you to the brink of
agenda
of insanity.
Yeah.
And boy, did he bite down and take the bait.
If you listen, he allowed himself to be brought to the brink. You know, he was kind of along for the ride.
Uh-huh.
And I think he was just having fun with it. And he kind of... He wasn't really pissed. It was more just fun. Yeah, for a second.
But then he caught himself.
Yeah, and then he realized, like, let's just have fun with this. And
I think when he told people to shove the headphones up their own ass was the peak of him and actually being mad. But then afterwards, he sort of course corrected. It was like, wait a minute. Let me just play the villain here and have a good story unfold. And it made for one of the best moments of the week.
Yeah, it was fun. I love Keith.
part of it is Flacco very often, they do the post-game show right outside the Ravens locker room, so they'll get a lot of players. And Flacco comes on a lot, so I think Keith has like a, you know, a personal relationship of sorts with Flacco, so he feels a stronger need to defend him, I guess.
Well, that's, you know, that's frowned upon in the sports broadcasting community, because now you're not getting the real, you know, his real thoughts, because now he is...
He's in bed with Joe.
Yeah, he's got a relationship with him, so he's not going to say anything bad about him. Like, if Joe sucks for two games straight, Keith's going to come in here and, like, you'll hear one of the texters call him, like, the master of excuses or whatever it was.
He's real conflict
every
of
excuse
interest.
In the book.
Yeah, if he ever leaves here, he could be Flacco's PR guy.
Coming up, Keith Mills was brought to the brink on Behind the Curtain.
Oh, boy. A Monday after a long Sunday playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, 26-9. A lot of the natives restless for a variety of reasons. One, they were agitated at the start of the game when the players kneeled before the anthem. And there was we got a lot of calls about a lot of confusion from, you know, Bruce Cunningham, the public relations announcer, announced that the reason that they were taking a knee was to pray for whatever I don't know the exact wording. And a lot of fans did not hear that. And when they saw the Ravens take a knee, man, they just let loose with a chorus of boos that I haven't heard around there in a long, long time. Until the second half when Joe threw a second interception. And the ones that were still there let loose with the chorus of boos that were just as loud as the pregame.
We just got done talking to Jared Johnson, and Jared's a friend of Joe's. Joe's a friend of Jared's, but he's got to speak on a professional level and analyze him as a man that played the game at the top of the top peak performance, Jared Johnson. And he's putting it on Joe, a lot of it on Joe.
Yeah.
Just saying, where's the play? I mean, you said
the texters
earlier.
Were agreeing. They're like, look, man, he makes that elite money. You know, they threw a whole bunch of money at you, dude, to be the guy. Be the guy.
Hey, listen, Joe is not ducking the responsibility.
That sucked. Wasn't good.
You hear what he said there?
But yeah, you know what? But
that's easy to wasn't say. Good. Whatever.
Two games in a row we're getting the I sucked wasn't good. Does it help anything by flipping over a table or swinging a chair at anybody?
Of course
no.
It does not.
But I want to hear something else out of him, because you
like
made
what?
The point.
What do you want to hear?
I want to hear some kind of
throwing
fire.
Guys under the bus?
I don't want to hear him take anybody out. I mean, he can continue to self-deprecate just the way that he did.
He's not going to do it.
But you're right.
He's been doing this for 10 years.
For 10 years. He's
won a lot of games both ways.
He ain't going to change his spots at this point. But
people are consumed with this.
It doesn't seem like even on the field when he's not speaking, the play has been flat. Seemed very like lead.
There's some text that says, why are you so scared to criticize Joe Flacco? He makes elite money.
Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco played horribly
yesterday.
Let me
read this. You didn't let me finish. You're like my wife. You don't let me finish.
You know what? I've heard it all day yesterday.
It says, why are you scared to criticize Joe? He makes elite money. You need to be... he needs to be a Leo. Doesn't matter if the offensive line is good or not. Have you seen Aaron Rodgers play the last few weeks? He didn't have an offensive line. Get your S together.
Joe Flacco's not as good as Aaron Rodgers.
I know.
Yeah, we could just,
you know,
put
you
that
can
elite
sit there
talk
and
to bed.
And you want him to be as good as Tom Brady. You want him to be as good as Aaron Rodgers. No knock on Joe. He's not at that level.
Do you think he
and
regrets
he has
that
never been.
Elite conversation years
it
ago when he was
matter.
Asked by the reporter?
What is he supposed to say? Robert Griffin III was asked the same thing. How do you consider yourself as a player? I consider myself the best quarterback in the league. What's he supposed to say? I stink?
No, he's not going to say he sucks, but... But people out there walking around with those elite shirts on and
who
all that.
Cares
Flacco
about
is making an astronomical.
Says he's elite, and who doesn't?
He's making
the
an astronomical amount of money to lead the team. Stop defending
every
him. He's not playing at that level.
Every quarterback in the league makes an astronomical amount of money. So right now, Matthew Stafford is the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He's never won one playoff game.
Joe Flacco.
So does that make Matthew Stafford elite? Are we going to have this debate again?
Yes.
Are you
let
kidding
the people,
me?
I'm just reading what the people are
My
saying,
God,
dude.
God, go
I'm
on to something else.
Saying. I'm reading what the people are saying.
Ask why he's playing poorly. To me right now, it's a combination of being gun-shy because he's getting the brains beat out of him.
Yep.
He's lacked confidence in his wide receivers.
Okay.
And he is not – his footwork – as a, from a fundamental standpoint, is not at the level it was a couple of years ago when he was playing at a high level.
What do you think happened?
Now, whether that's because he's...
Because he got paid.
He's hurt.
He got paid and checked out.
He was paid 3 years ago.
He got paid and he stinks ever since.
No, that's not true.
He stinks ever since. He's
on a decline.
I'm not going to argue with a child over here.
Look, I'm reading... This is what it says right here. It says Flacco has his payroll, and he lost his passion for the game.
Stuck you to the woodshed.
That's...
This is what the people are saying, Keith. This is the word on the street.
How does he know he's lost his passion for the game?
We're the voice of the people.
You can see it when you watch the TV.
Talk to the players in the locker room about Joe's passion for the game. That's all you have to do.
I don't need to.
Jeremy
Maclin,
Steve Wallace. It is what it is, Keith.
We know the same tired argument
we have every year. The Ravens lose a couple of games. And he's not playing well.
Get rid of
him. Okay. Well, that's his decision Ozzie Newsom's going to have to make.
If
Joe continues to play poorly, then he's going to have to make a move.
Good. Make a move. Get him out of there.
Boy, devil you know versus devil you don't. I don't think we're Mallett leading the charge.
There is other issues on the team as glaring right now as Joe's performance. One, the offensive and defensive lines without Brandon Williams and Marshall Yanda are getting pounded.
What happened in the preseason and training camp with Perriman versus what we're now seeing on the field when everyone's
lack of confidence.
Singing his praises.
Total.
My God, this is going to be the year. We're finally going to see
what they
drafted him.
He got hurt, and he didn't practice for about a month. And by the time he came out, he was a shell of his former self physically and psychologically. And right now you're seeing the finished product of a young player who's lost his confidence.
At some point.
And the quarterback has lost confidence in him. And that's probably even a bigger issue.
When they cut bait.
With Bashaud?
Yeah.
You know, who are you going to put out there now?
I don't know.
You can't cut bait now.
But I'm saying, do you think this season... There's some tough talks to be made.
One pass in like 3 weeks. Of course he's going to be gone. Are you kidding me? It has to be Vince Lombardi to figure that out.
Yeah.
But this is a third season where they're just, man, you should have seen this guy practice. It's like his fingers secrete super glue.
He was a different player to start
and then
a training camp.
And then
he got
hurt
season. Again, which has been the MO of his young career. Everybody likes Bashaud as a kid. He's a really good kid. He practices hard. He's just not cutting it at the NFL level right now. So, a great question. When do you fish and cut bait? Well, you know, that's Ozzie's call right there. But
people are starting.
Again, you can take 20 guys on both sides of the ball right now and say the same thing, that they're not earning their money because the way the team is playing. If money is how you equate success in the NFL, the Ravens aren't earning theirs. So
no, yeah,
and that
you're
goes
right.
with the coaching staff as well. As John Harbaugh said yesterday, it starts all the way from the top on down with him and the coaches. Now, with that said, also is, you know, you've got a team you're going in to play Oakland who's just as scarred as they are. They got quarterback issues. Their quarterback got hurt. They're all mighty offensive lines getting drilled. Their young and coming defense is getting drilled.
Uh-huh.
So they've lost two in a row.
Mm.
So, you know, Jack Del Rio is a really good coach. I'm sure there's rumblings in Oakland. Fire Del Rio today.
I started watching the game out of the corner of my eye when I realized that we were just in the middle of a train wreck.
Behavior is so predictable. Fire the coach. Get rid of the quarterback. Get rid of Ozzie Newsome. Get rid of all of them.
Dump Flacco and bring back Tyrod Taylor. He has Buffalo at 3-1, and he beat the Pats in New England.
There you go. See?
You know, right now, with the O-line as banged up as it is, I know it's a total hypothetical, could never happen, but a quarterback that's fleet of foot, that wouldn't be bad right now.
It would help.
With an O-line as porous and as banged up as they are. Man, it would be kind of nice.
Where are you
going
to get him? Kyle, you know who's out there? The only one that fits that bill is Colin Kaepernick. Do you want him as your quarterback?
Well, you just definitely swung a hockey stick at a bee's nest now.
I'm just telling you. There's no other quarterback that's out there that's going to be able to do what the fans want.
If this is true.
And I don't even know what he can do.
We just received it. Thank you, Drew.
In a year.
We got the NFL's highest paid quarterback's average salary per year.
Not the highest paid quarterback.
You know, he's not. He's actually number six on that list behind number one Stafford, two Carr, three Luck, four Breeze, fifth Cousins. Tom Brady not even on there. Not in the top 10.
Where's Rodgers? Rodgers will be. Next year, Aaron Rodgers' contract is up, and he will be the highest paid
quarterback. He's behind Joe.
It goes in cycles. Whoever's contract is up. Is Kirk Cousins worth $24 million for 1 year? That's what he's making. So, is he? Tell me. Everybody wants to judge the quarterback based on salary. Is Kirk Cousins worth $24 million for 1 year?
Eli ain't worth what he's making right now.
Eli's 0 for 4. He's won 2 Super Bowls.
Another texter says the Flacco money talk is ridiculous. We all know he's overpaid. Get rid of Ozzie. They want Ozzie. Well, Ozzie hasn't made any good decisions.
Get rid of everybody, baby.
He hasn't picked anyone good lately.
Get rid of all of them.
Millionaire
Flacco
Anderson
needs to take a pay cut so they can afford better players around him.
Dan DeKette, Buck Showalter, they're all gone, well, too. Get rid of all of them.
Seriously, though, Keith, I mean, if we go into Oakland and S the bet again, there's got to be some head chopping, right? There's got to be.
Whose head do you chop, Mike?
Don't know.
Harbaugh, get rid of Harbaugh.
If he throws for less than 100 yards in Oakland.
You want to play Ryan Mallett against the Bears?
It's a reality. You can put your head in the sand here. But,
yeah, I'm not putting my head in the sand, Mike. I'm just telling you the reality of what sports is. Okay, the reality of sports is, as a coach, you can't just keep inserting players here and there when you don't play well because you're going to run out of players.
Well, I'm not talking about players, but I'm saying there's got to be a coach that gets cut.
And it's not so much about
a lot of coaches. Listen. If this continues, if the Ravens continue to play like they're playing, Steve Bisciotti's relationship or not with John Harbaugh, that he will make a coaching change.
You have to.
You're going to have to.
It's a business decision.
But they're not at that point
yet. And it's not
yet.
About inserting players, Keith, like you say. Maybe sometimes it's about taking players out.
And you're going to replace them.
Sit them down.
Who?
It doesn't matter. No, send a message. Hey, you're sticking up the joint. Get
you know what?
Ride some pine.
They sent a
Go
message.
Ride some pine.
They sent a message yesterday by starting Alex Collins over Terrence West and Buck Allen. And
Chris
what happened?
Pine.
We lost. We didn't do good.
He rushed. He had 2 rushes for 73 yards, and he fumbled in his own territory, and it changed the complexion of the game. So, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, they already have backups playing because the guy's hurt. So when you start going down the depth chart and you lose big-time quality players like Marshall Yanda and Brandon Williams, who are 2 of the highest-paid players in the National Football League, the guys you replace are not going to be as good. It's a fact of life. The next man up scenario, people are fascinated with it because the next man up is always going to be better. No. Doesn't work that way in big time sports. It might work that way in your fantasy team because you can go out and bring somebody in, but in real life football, it doesn't work that way.
Here's a text.
Joe
Keith,
Flacco is text. Under the gun for the really.
It says Keith can live in the past all he wants. Anyone can see that Flacco's been regressing every year since he won the title.
Okay. 3 years ago. 2 years after he won the title, under Gary Kubiak, Joe Flacco and the Ravens offense were as good as they ever have been.
Here's
in
another
Baltimore.
Text, Keith Mills, so, Encyclopedia of Excuses. Keith Mills.
Excuses. What excuse did I make?
All of them.
Like
what?
Mills. All of them. I'm
Give
with
me.
Keith.
God, get out!
What excuse did I make?
I don't know. Roll back the whole freaking sports.
Run
cast.
All of it, Mike.
Run it back the whole.
Run all of it.
Count them.
You
Keith,
know why?
I got enough fingers.
You know why fans take that stance?
Why
fire everybody? Because they don't know anything else.
Yeah,
that's why.
I don't know nothing. Nothing from nothing. And I was so excited to talk to you today, Keith, about a story that I heard on Saturday on a wrestling podcast about Macho Man Randy Savage's father, who once had to wrestle an
actual bear. I'm sure he'll stalk the sidelines and get the guys fired up.
And as a fun little prank, some of his compatriots in the locker room, unbeknownst to him, rubbed honey all over his ass and then had the bear attack his butt.
Why play the rest of the season?
Here's
the
another text,
is all but over.
Do you want to hear this text?
Much. Call it a day.
I'll read this text right here.
Why
on his
play
ass?
The rest of the year?
This says, fire Keith for being an ass.
Did he sign his name?
Next man up.
I got a phone number.
Did he sign his name?
The next man up has one leg. There's one leg.
Who's the next man up?
Wait, see, this proves Keith's point. If we blew Keith down, we got Middlemeier.
Hey.
I don't want that man up.
You know what? Hollander.
He's incomplete.
Give me Hollander.
This is our best option. Keith is our best option.
You're our Flacco. We need a Hollander.
You're our first stringer.
You know my stance on my work life right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, no disrespect to any of you, and particularly all these morons that text in after a game.
Hey!
Bless you, kid.
You
know,
don't call our listeners
You can
moron.
All take the headphones and Josh's microphone and his computer, and you can shove it right up all of your ass because I could care less.
Yeah, Keith, get in that ass!
So that's the bottom line. That is the bottom line.
And that's the bottom line.
Because Keith Mills said so.
Keith Mills said so.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the bottom line.
We need Mills 316 shirts. Oh, wait, Kirk's got this.
You know why I take this stance? Just to hear and read some of the people that text in
Get rid of all of them.
Here's one. What the hell is this with Mills? Is his maiden name Flacco? Oh, yeah.
Hashtag I stand with Keith.
Okay, yeah, you got solidarity. Oh,
man, Keith is 100% right. Here they come. They're coming out to defend you now. Keith is as right as he's ever been
your
today.
Your penis.
All right. Get out, old man.
Keith, God bless you, sir.
I think we ought to get it. You know who ought to quarterback?
Who's that?
Josh Spiegel ought to quarterback next week.
That'd be great.
You know what?
Just to have him take one snap.
You could wear that Terrell Suggs mask he had or whatever the heck that was when he came out of the tunnel.
Keith is very easily angry. One of you is the trigger man.
Keith, we'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Joe and I are going out to lunch today. We're going to talk about
get him a Cuban sandwich.
What a great
on
game he had.
Oh, yeah. Joe, you're the best, baby. No, we're not going Dutch. I got this, Big Joe. Oh, hey,
right,
it's
get
tonight.
Get out of here. We're done with you. Go kiss Joe Flacco's ass.
I think we ought to go and sit around the forklift when Johnny is drops all, you know, the 700-pound refrigerator.
Are you having
and loses
a stroke?
Like 98.
What's
he talking about? Rate him on his performance.
What did that just mean?
He's stroking out.
Oh, my God.
When Johnny is a forklift. Refrigerator.
God, he's bent over and he's whacking it. Anytime you can go inside something,
that meat is pretty
close. Lube that bad mouth.
Work his ass.
I'm serious. Anytime you can go inside something.
He's striking out.
Hey, shut up. Shut up.
Your news report.
Shut up.
I did not expect to laugh today. The world sucks.
Go, get out.
Can people take a step back and realize that the whole world is falling apart and we're worried about a football team?
God bless you.
Yes, you're right.
God bless
you. You are right, Keith. Now stand up and just walk. Get out. Just get out. Stand up.
I'm not leaving, man.
Mike, get him out of here.
This is going to be my last day in broadcast. I'm going to soak it up, baby.
Oh, I got Keith is staging a sit-in.
I'm too afraid. Josh, get him out.
Josh,
you're bigger than everybody.
You bounce him out of here. You're the biggest guy in here, Josh.
Josh Spiegel, you get near me. His glasses are coming off. You know where they're going.
All right, I'm not touching
it. Yeah! Get him out!
You're going to deal with Jack Johnson and Tom O'Leary.
Keith squatting.
This is the best moment of my life.
Keith, God bless you. Yes. Oh, here he goes. Keith Mills. Keith Mills, the man. The man. God bless you.
Thank you. Oh.
I have no idea what just happened. That was fun, though.
He definitely, the refrigerator thing, I don't know what that meant.